When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
On the best show! What are we doing, right? Seriously, what are we doing? Note to myself. Bop, 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 bop. Best Show is here again on another Tuesday night in July of 2017. We're having a grand old time, and I hope you're going to have a grand old time with us. Tonight, Julie Klausner in studio. Big announcement. In studio. Surprises! In studio. There's only one way to get to it, guys. Can't go around it. Gotta go through it. The phone number. 201-332-3484. So I welcome you once again to the greatest podcast anyone has ever heard. You may like Chapo Steakhouse or Hamburger Men, but you will admit they are not the best. We are the best because do their shows have best in the title? I think not. And I think you should listen to this because now the show is underway. It's the best show. Let's have fun. Show. What's up, everyone? How's it going tonight? Here. On this pleasant enough July evening. In 2017, why do I timestamp these episodes? To help the researcher at the Tom Sharpling Museum sort through these things. Four thousand years from now. So what's up, everyone? The phone number 201-332-3484. Got a fun show. Julie Klausner will be in studio later. Got the whole crew out there. They're all out there. It's like the 27 Yankees. It really is like the 27 Yankees. They'll sit around. Like, no, what they would be like now, the 27 Yankees. No, it's like a murderer's row out there. AP Mike, Pat Byrne, Dudio. It's like a who's who. Or in some cases, it's a, that's the guy. That's an officer, that's the guy. What crimes would they commit, the three of them? What crimes do you think? This is what I'd like the three of you to do, please. Write down the crimes that the other two would be found guilty of.
Okay.
Okay? Whatever crimes you think the other two would be found guilty of, I want to know what each of you think. What did we hear? Dams of the West. My boy Chris Thompson, CT. He of Vampire Weekend fame. He came in the studio, played that song in studio. That's the full band record version. The album's called Youngish American, and that's Death Wish. It's a good record. It's a very good record. It's a great record. You know who else has a good record coming out? The Giant Dog, baby. They're back. Look out. Those maniacs. New record's good. Toy. We'll be playing something from it, hopefully, in the next week or so. But we just heard a blast from the past, a little yesterday's hits today. Super Bowl from Helium. Mary Timoney, another... Yeah, she's a hero, I'll say it. Role model. Super, what are you going to do? He plays amazing guitar, writes amazing songs, sings amazing songs. She's got X-Hex now, but her band before was Helium. Oh, boy. Here comes one of the crew. I'm not saying who. Like he shot out of a like a cannon with his post-it saying what the other two would be guilty of. And that's Super Bowl. And Matador Records reissued all the Helium records. They're all reissued now in beautiful, I think they're all remastered, and there's nice vinyl versions of them all, and there's an Odds and Ends Rarities collection that's great. Just go and get all of them at matadorrecords.com. Just buy all of them. What, are you going to regret it? Like, you're going to regret that. I tell you, man. I saw this new shirt on Instagram. Royal Trucks, man. One of the all-time great bands. The Rolling Stones of our era. New shirt. It's like a basketball shirt. I loved it. And then I saw a picture of Neil Haggerty playing guitar, like a old photo of him playing guitar with, I think he's wearing a Rasheed Wallace jersey. Oh, my goodness. I got to get this new shirt. The phone number, 201-332-3484. You know some exciting stuff we have coming up? What should we call this this phone line, Dudio? The creeper line? That's pretty good. The wackadoo line? We're adding a phone line that's going to be exclusive to, because everybody, you get all these people like, why don't any weirdos call? Because of the weirdo line, right? Let's call it the weirdo line. What's that? Weirdos only. I love it. Mike gets it. We're adding a line that we'll be able to give out to just goofballs all over, and it'll be just for weirdos to call in. So get ready for that. We're adding a line that's weirdos only. Oh, but it's a little hard doing the show here. Oh. Mamacita, please, I'm so thirsty. Please, Mamacita, please bring me something cold to drink, please. Mamacita, I cannot go on and do the show. Oh, it's a Diet Dr. Pepper. Thank you, Mamacita. Nothing to say? Nothing to say? Usually you give some...
No, I'm good.
No, I'm good. Oh, God. So here's, this is perfect. Dudio brings in his thing. He says that Mike will be found guilty of abduction. And Pat will be found guilty of grand larceny. That, the Mike one, I don't know about. The Pat one, I think that might actually be the case. Sorry, Pat. Because Pat makes big moves. That's the thing with Pat. Pat makes big moves, right? You'd agree with that, Pat. Yeah, look up grand larceny. You might, you also might look it up in the prison library. That's right. I'll drink a Diet Dr. Pepper now and again. I found my level. I don't drink soda every day. I drink like 2 times a week, 3, 4, 5 times a week, and then if I'm having food, I have soda with it also. And, of course, when I wake up, I need a cold soda as well. And no better way to wind the day down than with a Diet Dr. Pepper. And, sure, I need that little pick-me-up in the middle of the day when Mountain Dew comes in nice and handy. But I don't count that. I count that as carbonated coffee, actually. Mike says, Dudio, fraud. Pat, fraud. I gotta say, this is really, you guys are on point. So, yeah, some good music, guys. Good music tonight. Some good music. Dams of the West, Helium. Maybe I'll play some Royal Trucks later. Just that good old time here, right? Put a little strawberry soda. Now, I know a lot of you are saying, what's the big announcement, Tom? You said there's a big announcement. What is it? Well, you know what? Mind your own bit. No, wait. Oh, no. That's not the tone I'm supposed to be striking with this. I'm probably supposed to strike the tone of saying to you that we're all friends here. We're having a great time, and we're all going to have a good time. We all have a good time with the best show. You know it's a fun thing, Mike? You ever hear rock, rot, and rule? Oh, you've heard it. Okay. Yeah, the first call that I did with John Worster. And do you know when I did that, Mike? We did that? What year? Well, let me tell you. 1997, and this is 2017. That's 20 years, baby. 20 years in the biz. The two kids, all grown up now, still making everyone laugh. 20 years later. Has there been a better run in comedy? No, I say no. 20? No. Who else has done this for 20? Who else has put 20 up on the board and it's 20-0 right now? Nobody. Except for the kids. Tom and John. Sharpling and Worcester. So, 20 years in, here's what we're doing. We are going to announce tonight, live, New York City, Saturday, October 21st, at the Murmur Theater in Brooklyn, Sharpling and Worcester's Rock Rotten Rule 20th Anniversary Extravaganza. Saturday, October 21st. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Sharpling and Worcester's Rock Rotten Rule 20th Anniversary Extravaganza. We're not touring it. We're just doing it. Local, where it all began. Tickets go on sale Friday. Murmur Theater in Brooklyn. I believe it is a seated show. Sharpling and Worcester's Rock Rotten Rule 20th Anniversary Extravaganza, honoring 20 years of greatness. The show will be announced to the rest of the world tomorrow, but for you, the best show, faithful, we know about it now. 7 p.m., $25 ticket price. We're not touring it. New York only, I believe. I think that's all we're doing with it. I think that's it. It's a standalone thing. So, get ready. And now I look on to Twitter. Can someone buy me a ticket if I forget? Oh, boy. Come on, Tavy. Tighten it up. You got to get your own ticket. Can someone buy you a ticket? I wish I had friends like that. I tell you, these friends I got, I couldn't have. Can someone buy me a ticket? Can you imagine these friends? Someone buy me a ticket? Nah, not this group. Not this group of thugs I hang out with. Cheap thugs. Come on out. It's going to be fun. October 21st, Murmur Theater, Brooklyn, Prospect Heights. How about that? It's a nice venue. I'll put the link up for the tickets. I'll put it up on Twitter, but they go on sale Friday, July 21st at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You going to go, Mike? Yeah, okay. Well, I'll send you. Check out that link, Mike. Check that link out, Mike. Here we go. Pat says Mike will be convicted of public nudity and dudio manslaughter, like slaw. Look, it's funny. Yes, and let me spell murmur for people who, just so you know, because it's not spelled in the conventional way. M-U-R. Wait. M-U-R-M-R-R. The Murmur Theater. M-U-R-M-R-R. 17 Eastern Parkway, Brooklyn, Prospect Heights. And I'm telling you, I don't want to hear no one say, can I get a ticket? I didn't get a ticket. Can I get in? No. I'm sorry. You can't. Get your tickets. This is it. It's go time, people. It's a good room. Tickets will be on sale. Get on it. I didn't get a ticket and the show is tomorrow. Okay, well, maybe come by for the 40th anniversary. It'll be John and a video screen of me saying, oh, hi, welcome to the 40th anniversary. I'm no longer here on this plane, but we're going to have a great time tonight. It'll be clear it's Mike doing some sort of video manipulation, like when Fred Astaire would dance around the vacuum cleaner. He gets some rights to my likeness. Public nudity, manslaughter. That's Pat's accusation against the other two guys. Mike says fraud and fraud for Dudio and Pat. Dudio says Mike abduction and Pat grand larceny. Who's good here? Mike. One. Best show.
Hi. Just wanted to bring up, so today.
Well, first of all, let me say to you, hello.
Yeah. Hi, I'm sorry.
And what's your name?
This is Eli from California.
Eli from California.
Hello.
What's up, Eli?
Well, it's funny you should mention the 20th anniversary if you're with Worcester. And I just wanted to say that
What are you, a gym coach? You just call him Worcester?
Yeah,
what are you? Yeah, really? What are you going to tell him to? Are you going to tell him to climb the rope next?
Yeah, reach for 7 feet or something.
So what's up, Eli? So what are you getting at here?
So today is the 9th anniversary for Dark Knight releasing in the U.S. for all two people who care out there listening right now.
The 9th anniversary of what?
The Dark Knight, you know, Batman. With Christopher Nolan or whatever.
What? So the second Batman movie that Christopher Nolan did, this is the 9th anniversary of it.
Mm-hmm.
What am I supposed to do with that?
I don't know. Somebody.
Get off my phone. Great first call. Great vibes. Great vibes. Great opening vibes for the show. Great opening vibes. So this guy, this Dark Knight, I feel like I'm still in the theater seeing it 9 years later. That's the longest movie I've ever seen in my life. Feels like 4 hours went by, then all of a sudden you're like, wait, Batman's still fighting people now? Now they're on ferries, and they got ferries out in the harbor. This one ferry, that was the other one. That was the third one, which was interminable, that one. Bane. Could you imagine that one? Batman, the third Batman movie, Batman doesn't show up till halfway in it. And then they're walking people out onto the ice, and then they're falling in. And then Batman gets thrown in a well or something like that. And finally shows up at the end, and then you're... Oh, boy. It's Batman. But that second one where suddenly it's like, they have these ferries, and one is filled with convicts, and the other's filled with normal people, and it's just like they each have detonators to blow each other up. And then they, like, showed that the convicts, like, didn't press the button, but the regular people would have blown the convicts up. It's just like, who's the real criminal, man? Right? Look in the mirror. It was slightly less preachy. It was like Zoo Animals on Wheels, from Get a Life. How do you like it when we stare at you? Yeah, these Batman movies, they're all duds. It's Christopher Nolan. And then this Dunkirk he's got coming out. Here's a crazy thing, and Batman's in it. Get in the boat. Hey, I'm here in the Dunkirk trying to get on a boat to get back. Get in my boat. Who are you now? I'm Batman. Get in the boat. Anyway, you look like you could be a Nazi there, Batman. I'm not. That's why this Wonder Woman movie was good, because it just was like, it didn't have like, it wasn't 4 hours long, first of all. And then she's running around fighting people. That's all it was. They didn't tie in all these other things. I tell you, man. One's worse than the next. So I met one of the guys from that Chapo Steakhouse show at Tim and Eric over the weekend. And then he's like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, you guys are, you have your, you guys are like the king of Patreon with your thing. And then he's like, well, you know, someday someone else will knock us out. I'm like, wait, someone else will knock you out. Wait. You think you knocked me out? What? Yeah, someone will take our crown. Like they took the crown. You've been doing the show for a year and a half. Look, it's fun. I like the show. It's a good show. Let's see where you. Let's check in 8.5 years later when you're at the halfway mark, fellas. God bless you. I hope you get there. I hope you get there. They're talking about the T-bones and what. Honestly, I don't even know what the show is. What is it, like about cream spinach and stuff like that?
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, old BW from the World Record Podcast. And I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over Office Hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
Woo! It's showtime!
They recorded it like Ruth Chris or something? I don't know. I know that's the other one that I tried listening to with this hamburger men thing where they were talking about Wetzel's pretzels or something like that. They're John Daly on. My guy, John Daly. And those fellas seem all right. Those fellas, the hamburger men, they seem all right. Seem like nice guys. You know where nice guys finish. Best show. That didn't come off as mean as I thought that was. Right? Hi, Best Show.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Welcome to the Best Show.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
What's going on?
I don't know. You tell me. You called. What's up, Chief?
Well, I called like a month ago And
you've been on hold that long?
What?
You've been on hold for a month?
Yes.
Well, I apologize. Well, first of all, what's your name, Junior?
I'm sorry. I have a little bit of a speech impediment, but
don't worry.
My name is Ed.
How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing all right.
Where are you calling from, Ed?
Just outside of Washington, D.C.
All right. On the Virginia side or the Maryland side?
Maryland.
All right. So, Ed, what do I owe the pleasure of this? To what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, I was going to tell you about an encounter I had 3 days ago with a guy that looked a lot like Bruno Mars, but it probably wasn't him, but he seemed really convincing, and he told me that,
didn't tell you he was Bruno. He wasn't trying to pass himself off as Bruno Mars, was he?
Well, no, he acted like he was actually, it was pretty convincing. I'm pretty sure it actually was him, but I don't want to sound crazy.
And where did you meet him, though? Where would you meet somebody who could have been Bruno Mars?
Well, I was just walking down 7th Street in Northwest, okay. And he told me he was Bruno Mars, and he looked like him.
But so you're walking down 7th Street, and a guy comes up to you, and he goes, "Hey, I'm Bruno Mars!"
No, I recognized him.
Oh, so you went, "Are you Bruno Mars?"
No, I didn't ask him. I just assumed it was him.
Okay, but how did you get confirmation that the guy said, "Hey, I am, yes, you're right, I am Bruno Mars"?
I never got that confirmation.
Right. Well, did you check on social media to see if Bruno Mars was in Washington, D.C.?
No.
Well, it sounds like someone's got a little bit of research to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Ed?
Yeah,
sounds like somebody's got some homework for tonight.
I'm not really good with the social media.
Well, you might have to get good at it to verify this Bruno Mars story. Did you get an autograph?
I took a shower, so it washed off.
So where did he sign? He signed on you?
Yeah.
Oh, this is... Ed, God bless you. Get off my phone.
Actually was him.
Best show, hi.
I don't want to sound crazy. But where did you meet him, though? Where would you...
Oh, good. I remember when this happened. Remember this moment on the show? Hi, best show.
Oh, hey, Tom. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's quite all right. To whom am I speaking?
This is Clayton from Brooklyn.
Clayton from Brooklyn. What's up, Clayton?
Nothing much. How you doing? I just wanted to let you know that this is the 14th anniversary of the release of Johnny English.
Oh, well, that's exciting to know. Well, I appreciate the... we do have a 9th anniversary Batman cake on its way. So, Mike, can you order a 14th anniversary Johnny English cake as well? I tell you, with this Pete, let me just tell you. What's your name, Clayton? Clayton.
Yeah, Clayton.
I want to just say this, Clayton. These guys with this pizza out there.
Uh-huh.
I go out there before the show. Mike is just going, "Boy, you hear that?" I'm like, "What?" No, he's like, "Oh, my stomach's rumbling." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I see where it's going." So fine, I just figured, let's get it over with. "Did you not have, do you have dinner yet?" "No, I didn't have a chance. I was busy getting ready for the show." "Do you want to order pizza?" And then he has the nerve to do this. Yeah, I guess. He's dropping all the hints. You'd think he was dropping breadcrumbs like Hansel and Gretel, right?
Are you going to order him one to take home?
You know what? I'm going to tell you this, Clayton. I want to make sure this guy's not, when they order that pizza, I want to make sure all these guys aren't just ordering stuff that they sneak out of here with. You listen to me. This, I know you can all hear it. It's out there. If I catch any of you ordering stuff that is not consumed on premises, you're in for it. You're in for it. You faith.
It's buffet rules.
Yeah, exactly. It's buffet rules. Thank you, Clayton. I like you.
Thank you, Tom. I love you.
Well, that's sweet of you to say. You're going to get tickets for the show, the big show?
Oh, 100%. I'm super psyched.
Yeah. Get ready. October 21st, Murmur Theater, M-U-R-M-R-R Theater in Brooklyn.
It's in my neighborhood. I'm in Prospect Park, so it's close to me, I think.
There we go.
I might even walk there.
You might even walk there. Look.
I'll run there.
It's your business. You don't have to run. Just be on time for the 7 p.m. show. You don't have to run. Just schedule your day out correctly and budget the proper amount of time, and you won't have to run.
Nice. I will.
So anything else you want to say there, Chief?
No, not tonight. Thanks for taking my call, Tom.
Oh,
I appreciate
it. I'm going to say this, Clayton. 4 stars on this call. 4 stars.
That means the world to me.
It could have been higher if you would have had your radio turned down when it began, your computer turned down. You could have pulled off 4.5. 4. Gives you something to strive for, though.
Yeah, something to aim at.
Yes.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye. Nice guy. I like it. I like that guy. Well, I want to tell you all, the surprises are not over. I got another surprise coming up, actually. And this is a big one. You know, we talk about movies a lot on the show, and a lot of movie fans in the audience listening. And this is kind of exciting. I guess it's kind of a get. I know everybody has heard about this movie Trash Talk, whether you've seen the ads or you saw the movie or the reviews. I don't know if people know, a guy from Newbridge, Steve Ronson, he was the guy that wrote Trash Talk. The writer of this movie, Trash Talk, which is just blowing up, he's from Newbridge, Steve Ronson. And the movie came out a few weeks ago via New Lionsgate, and it's about Ronson's experiences as a garbage man in Newbridge while trying to support his family, his wife and 3 kids. And I love this movie. I love it. It's one of the best films I've seen in years. I've seen it 4 times already. It is very funny. But it has this heart running through it that is just very moving. And I don't think I cried as much watching a movie since when I was a kid and saw, like, Charlotte's Web. It's very effective. And people, thankfully, agree. Over at Rotten Tomatoes right now, it has 101% approval at Rotten Tomatoes. And it's actually doing well in the box office. And, you know, I'm sure that this guy is off to a great career. He did get a late start getting his screenwriting career underway, but we're just catching a guy at the beginning of what's going to be a very illustrious and storied career. And again, the movie is Trash Talk. I love it. It's exciting to have a guy who is one of Newbridge's own, local boy made good. Let's welcome to the show Steve Ronson. Steve, are you there?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm so excited to be here. I'm actually a big Best Show fan.
Really?
Oh my God, I love it. Yes.
Oh,
for years.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Thank you.
Of course. You know, I guess we should just jump right in and start discussing our favorite and least favorite candy bars, huh?
Yeah, well, okay. I mean, I guess you're giving me the business on that.
How about some pizza? What pizza do you hate? Name your top 50 least favorite crusts. I'm just busting them.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, man. I have
to. It's fine. It's funny. You're look. You can walk the line with that, Steve, because you have that touch. So.
Oh, thank you. No, I'm just like anybody else. You know, I'm a simple Jersey guy, you know, but seriously, I think I've heard probably every episode since you started. Maybe not everyone, but I go way back, and there's one thing that I love about the show, and if you would indulge me, I would just be thrilled.
What is that?
I love those impressions you do.
Oh, well, that's nice of you to say.
And here's one, I don't know if you do this one anymore, but it was kind of, you know, it's something I think you did early on. Jay Leno talking about, you know, like when Jay Leno is in a movie and he's talking about the fictitious president in the movie.
Yes.
Like, can you do that, please?
Oh, like in his monologue.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they would like put it in a movie to establish reality.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So it would be like whoever would be watching television, and you'd see the Tonight Show on.
Yeah.
And Jay Leno would be on doing his monologue, and he'd be like, what else is in the news today? It's did anybody see what happened with President Parker today? Sounds like a real right.
I just love President Parker. It's such a weird name. It's so funny to me.
Oh, well, that's I appreciate that.
I love it. Well, thank you for doing that.
Man, I just got to tell you, I can't even begin to express how much I loved Trash Talk.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I appreciate that. That's so nice to hear. And I'll tell you, you know, I'm so blessed by the reception that my little film has gotten, and it seems to have really touched the hearts of so many people, and, you know, that's pretty much why anyone creates anything, I think, you know, to have that personal connection, that heart-to-heart thing, and I'm just so lucky that I achieved that to some degree with my very first attempt, you know, and I know that doesn't happen much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... It really is magical, and I think part of what appeals to so many people about the movie is how like real and personal the whole thing is, and the way it, like the story of the movie, that you mm-hmm. wrote it in longhand and you're writing it on scraps of discarded newspaper while you were on your shift, like these endless grueling shifts on the garbage truck, and that part of it is as exciting as anything. Can you talk for a second about the origins of the actual screenplay?
Sure. Well, Trash Talk basically just started as me writing down my experiences that I was having on a daily basis, and you know, it's interesting, there's a stigma that goes along with being a garbage man, and you know, but it is a very noble profession, you know, where would we be without them? And you find out so much about people through their garbage, and I'm not saying that I was like A.J. Weberman going through Bob Dylan's trash, you know, in the early 70s when that whole thing was happening, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you can't help noticing certain things and then drawing your own conclusions just by what you throw in that truck, you know, what you pick up on the curb and you put in the truck. And, you know, like, this couple is going through a divorce. The matriarch of this family is dying. This guy's going bankrupt, you know, those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And you also end up, you know, because these are, they're not solitary hours, but, you know, it's usually you and a partner, and you've got a guy driving too, but there's not a lot of talk. And, you know, so you have all this other time to think about your own life. You know, are my kids ashamed of me? How can I dig out of this huge financial hole that I found myself in? Does my wife regret marrying me? How can I care for my sick parents on this meager paycheck I bring in? You know, things like that that are pretty, I'm sorry to bring this down, but, you know, they're all very real things that come up when you're doing that job.
It's heavy stuff, but it's real life.
It is, yeah. And, you know, I honestly had zero experience writing a screenplay. I always loved movies. And then one day, you know, I was bored on the job, and I just said, I'd watch a movie about the things that happened to me, you know, which is kind of dumb. I mean, I think everybody probably feels that about their own life, but I actually started doing it. So I started writing down things, like you said, in longhand and on whatever found paper I would pick up, like it was discarded Christmas wrapping or newspaper, that sort of stuff. And, you know, I'd find this stuff on shifts. And I'd also write at night after I got home, I put my kids to bed and I kissed my wife Janine goodnight. I'd keep at it, you know, and I pecked away at this thing for years until I had what I thought was a good draft. I didn't really know what a good draft was,
but it
felt like, that's my story.
Yeah.
So, wow, that was that.
That's so cool. And how long did, how did the script actually, like, find its way to the studio, to New Lionsgate?
Well, I saw an ad for a screenwriting contest in one of those screenwriting magazines that they sell at Barnes & Noble, you know, so I was just kind of thumbing through that, and so I entered the contest, and I actually placed second. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. In a contest like that, do you even remember at that point who placed first?
I do. It was, the screenplay was called The Chiku Killer, which is a weird title, and oddly by another Jersey guy.
Huh.
And it's this crazy soup. I could only get like halfway through. It was so weird and gross. It's the story of this crazy, super violent podcast producer, and he ends up exsanguinating the show's host, who I guess is this, you know, he's portrayed as this giant bully, just like a real creep himself. Anyway, he gets exsanguinated using these vintage Schaefer beer pull tabs. You know those rings that they used to have?
Yes, from the old beer cans.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
pretty disturbing, but Kevin Smith was one of the judges, so he loved that one.
So it kind of tilted. Yeah, I could see, like fan. It sounds like fanboy stuff.
Yes, and this guy that wrote it, I do remember this. When they showed, when he came to get his prize, and he was wearing this like size quad XL hockey jersey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for some team called, oh, what is it called? It's called the Bayonne. It was the Bayonne. You're going to have to bleep probably both parts of this word. The Bayonne, but. Yeah.
Yeah, I did have to bleep both parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, but second place is no shame in second place, especially when you consider how it's gone.
Right. Yep. And so one of the perks of placing in this contest was that your screenplay got sent to these various movie studios and producers. And this guy, Seth Goldstein at New Lionsgate, he read it and he fell in love with it.
Okay.
And then Seth ended up hooking me up with Kim Dennis at CAA. And before you knew it, Trash Talk was pretty much set up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something, and believe me, I know this isn't usually how it goes. I think you've probably seen this. It's probably the ultimate cautionary tale of the film business, a film called Overnight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The story of Troy Duffy, who I think was a great musician, but the film stuff, you know, he just, I don't think he had the temperament for it.
Sure. I guess. I don't know about his music exactly, but...
Well, I've heard some of it, and I think it's great.
Okay, well, to each his own with that stuff. I mean, that people like what they're going to like, but I get it. Again, I love this movie you made.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And there was such buzz on Trash Talk,
right,
even before it came out last month, that... you must have been getting for the first time in your career, like, a lot of offers and things, huh?
Yes. I mean, imagine being a garbage man, you know, one day, and then the next you're getting these calls. And it was a double-edged sword, I have to be honest. On the one hand, it was super exciting and flattering to find yourself a hot commodity. And on the other hand, you know, I was getting these offers to write on these projects that I honestly didn't have any connection to, specifically in the TV medium.
Uh-huh. Like TV, different TV shows?
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that wasn't really a medium I really saw myself going in. I do like TV, but, you know, I thought I would probably have more of a... you know, continued success in the film world, but, you know, I couldn't be too choosy because I only had one thing under my belt, and even though that was a hit, I couldn't really count on anything.
Sure, I can see that.
You
kind of can't, you know, bank it all, like, you're still at the beginning.
Exactly, and, you know, I'm not like Harvey Weinstein, you know, who can use his ultimate power and also his attractiveness to get what he wants.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I agree Harvey Weinstein gets what he wants because he's powerful, but I don't know if I'd exactly describe him as using his attractiveness. I don't think he's particularly attractive.
Well, I see some photos where he looks great.
Okay. Well, I guess I might have missed those photos then.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they're out there.
I guess I got to hit the internet, huh?
Google Image.
Google, okay, Google Image.
Not right now, though.
No, of course. I'm talking to you, Steve. I'm not going to do it. Can I ask, you mentioned all these TV things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what shows were you contacted about working on?
Gosh, off the top of my head, Tight Five, Brick Wall Warriors, what else? Brian... Die Laughing, Steve, a Flair from Middling, Brad, Comedy Condo Nights, what else? Mike's World, Ted, Jenny at the Mic, American Giggle Joe, that new Joe Mandy sitcom.
So those are like all TV shows about stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, as we all know, 90% of all scripted entertainment is about stand-up comedians and the very intriguing world in which they live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I did give one show a shot.
Oh, you actually did staff up on something?
I did, yes.
Which show?
Law & Order SVU.
Uh-huh. I mean, that's a huge show. Law & Order SVU has been on for years, and people, it's got a real following, so congratulations on that.
No, not SVU, STU.
Wait, Law and Order STU?
Yes, yeah.
What is Law and Order STU?
Law and Order Stand Up. Why?
I don't know. Law, I don't know anything about this. Can you tell me about Law and Order STU?
Sure. Well, the episode I wrote is called The Memo Was Murder.
Okay.
And I'll nutshell it for you if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love it.
Okay, well, picture this. The detectives of Law & Order STU face their hardest case to date in this episode. Andy Kindler is doing stand-up Thursday to Sunday at Boston Comedy. So basically he's got one show Thursday, two Friday and Saturday, and then one show on Sunday. But on Saturday,
yeah,
he's nowhere to be found.
Okay.
So a server at the comedy club finds Kindler's body stuffed into the club's ice machine, which, of course, is located way too close to the stage for anyone's satisfaction, especially when someone does that thing where they scoop out a bucket of ice mid-set. Very distracting. Yeah. So, Kindler's head is also missing.
Oh, okay.
You know, and a piece of paper has been taped to his chest, and on the piece of paper it says, "I got the memo." It's super gruesome. It's super bloody.
That's very gruesome, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a big scramble to figure out who's behind this murder. And it's very hard to narrow down a suspect. The first suspect is Big J. Okerson.
Okay.
But he gets cleared when the STU team discovers that his fingerless gloves had no traces of blood on them.
Okay.
Okay? And then the focus drifts over to Louis C.K.
Yeah.
But Louis honestly didn't know who Andy Kindler was when they questioned him. And as a matter of fact, they gave him a lie detector test, and he gets the highest, most truthful score ever recorded in the history of any lie detecting machine when he says that he's never heard of Andy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I wrote in this part that actually it didn't end up getting included. I was kind of bummed out where someone in the morgue, he stands behind the headless torso, and he starts doing this thing about how Jay Leno has a car that only runs on not touching his Tonight Show money, which I thought was really funny, but they didn't keep it in.
Sure, sure. It's a cutting room floor.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, the STU team concentrates its investigation on this guy named Sal Volcano, and they're about to make an arrest, but then the lab determines that the memo taped to Andy's chest was written on the back of a torn Hot Pockets box, and I'll bet you know where this is going, right?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. Who gets arrested for it? Who's the murderer? That's right, Jim Gaffigan.
Okay.
That's who killed Andy Kindler. And Gaffigan gets sentenced to the electric chair.
Yeah.
And the final 5 minutes is the slow, heated death of Jim Gaffigan. It's sick.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I wrote in that Nick Cave's The Mercy Seat was to be played during the final scene, you know, during the climax there.
Sure.
But he wouldn't get permission, so they went with All Star by Smash Mouth.
Well, that's a little bit of a tonal shift.
A little different vibe, right?
Yeah.
I didn't think it worked.
Just that's playing over the execution, the electric chair execution of Jim Gaffigan, Smash Mouth.
Yeah, and at one point that hulking singer for Smash Mouth, he kind of comes into frame and just like mouths a couple lines
so
from it.
So he's at the execution.
He's in it, yeah, yeah.
So in the reality of the thing, they're playing Smash Mouth at the execution?
Yes.
So it's playing in the jail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So what is based on that, we're assuming that Jim Gaffigan's final wishes were to hear Smash Mouth playing?
Yes, yeah.
Well, that is, then I guess he could be capable of murder.
I think so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a wild, wild episode.
Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you, at the end of the day, I just wasn't feeling that world. So I decided that I wasn't going to, I didn't want to work in TV anymore. And, you know, like I said, I'm just a simple Jersey guy, you know, and that world, it was a matter of me being a square peg in a round hole.
Okay, sure.
But thankfully, New Lionsgate loved my new screenplay as much as Trash Talk. So I'm rolling on that.
Wow, that's very exciting. So there's a new movie in the works, is what you're saying.
There is, yes.
Can you tell us anything about what this might be?
Well, it's basically the continuation of the story of Stevie, you know, who of course is the humble main character in Trash Talk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's real. That's very interesting to continue it. Do you have a name yet for it?
Yes, Just a Jersey Boy.
Okay.
That's the title. And, you know, because look, I keep hammering this. I'm still just a Jersey boy. You know, nothing special. It's the story of an everyman that every man and woman and kid can relate to.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah. That's great to hear. That's very exciting. can you say what, like, give us a small taste maybe of what the screenplay is about for the next part of Stevie's life?
Well, I don't want to give away too much, but let's just say that you're going to need earplugs to block out the tidal wave of laughter when Stevie gets into it with the studio heads during the table read for Stevie's new movie, All the Feels.
Well, I kind of don't follow what you're talking about.
Okay, well, there's this one executive who's never thought that Sudeikis was right for the lead of Fields, okay? So he really wants Will Forte, but Forte's in the middle of shooting Last Man, and Fox, they're being real pricks, and they're not going to budge on scheduling, and it's a total cluster F.
Oh, okay.
Anywho, Stevie ends up humiliating the executive by saying, you know, if my Nielsen's were as bad as yours when I was VP of programming at ABC, I'd have a flagrant Coke problem, too. And then, get this, Stevie says, you must have some kind of incriminating photos of Giannopoulos doing God knows what, because everybody in this room knows that you have no business whatsoever in the film industry.
And that's Jim Giannopoulos, the head of Paramount?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Well, I thought the new movie was about the continuation of the story of the humble garbage man just trying to keep his head above water.
It is. Only, you know, he's now he's just doing that while fully ensconced in the dog-eat-dog world of A-list Hollywood power players.
Okay, so but that's so far from the original story.
Okay. Oh, I wouldn't say that. There are so many things in this story that everybody can identify with and everybody can relate to.
Like what?
Well, for instance, there's this scene where Stevie's in Maui with Charlie Kaufman, and they're discussing whether or not Stevie needs to hang a lantern in this one scene. And I'll tell you, this one scene...
Let me just say, for people who aren't screenwriters, hanging a lantern means to just put over, like, an overemphasis on a certain plot detail that you want the audience to remember for later in the...
Hey, Sid Field, put Tom back on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Sid Field. So Sid Field is a guy who wrote this screenplay book, The Foundations of Screenplay, The Foundations of Screenwriting, which people consider the definitive screenwriting book of its time. So that's...
All right. Yeah. Okay. How about this other scene? All right. And in this scene, you're going to love this. Stevie's having dinner with the studio head, and he's also at their table is superstar actor, writer, director James Franco, and person of indeterminable note, Kelly Oxford, and they're at the Palm, and the studio head out of nowhere says he wants Franco to play the main character's brother, and he wants him in almost every scene. And Stevie is livid, because there's never been a brother in this entire script, in every page. It's All the Fields is a pretty long movie, and there's never been a mention of a brother. So Stevie takes the knife he's been using to cut his grass-fed, shade-borne, bone-in Montana-raised veal cutlet, and he holds it to the guy's throat, and he says, look, this is not and has never been a two-hander, and if you think that
Let me just say again, for people who aren't screenwriters, again, you're using terminology. A two-hander is like a movie or a TV show that's two main characters kind of carry the whole thing and play off each other the whole time.
Are you going to interrupt me the entire time?
Well, you're using this is not a showbiz thing here, and the audience, I'm just trying to keep people so they know what we're...
Okay. Here's what people a child will get, okay? All right, there's this really intense scene where Stevie's at this party at DiCaprio's private Vietnamese island, and he's getting these frantic messages from Hollywood asking him, to come up with some sort of exciting something to just up the excitement level, like a car chase or a bomb explosion. And Stevie's livid, and he smashes this champagne goblet that he's got, and he says, Look, you bastards, I'm not Joel Silver here.
Oh. And again, Joel Silver is a movie producer, produced a lot of action movies, and he always had this thing where every 10 minutes you have to have some major action scene or sex scene in every 10 pages. So
everyone knows the 10-page rule.
No, everybody doesn't know the 10-page rule, Steve.
Huh.
You know, I got to say, maybe you should change the name, the title of this one from, what is it, Just a Jersey Boy. Why don't you try, like, Now I'm a Hollywood Man?
That's ludicrous, Tom. Oh, it reminds me, I'm having brunch with Ludacris and Seth Rogen on Saturday.
Okay.
Got to pick up some,
Some what?
Chard. It's weird. They love Swiss chard. I didn't even know what it was until I met those guys.
Yes, and then now you're just probably knees deep in Swiss chard.
I'm knee deep in something else, too.
No. I gotta. Okay.
Well, look, next thing you're gonna say is that no one can relate to this scene where Stevie leaves his wife and kids for the 28-year-old lead actress of all the feels.
Uh huh. Okay. Now, that is actually something that actually happens in, we hear the story a lot, unfortunately, about the middle-aged guy leaving his wife and kids for a woman that's like half his age.
Hey, you make it sound sleazy, Tom. You know, maybe they're really in love. Ever think about that?
Wait, are you... Oh, please don't tell me that this is what's actually happening to you in real life, Steve.
Look, it's nothing like they're reporting on TMZ, okay? For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, Harvey has had it in for me since I got out here. And I'll tell you, mark my words, I'm going to sue the porno arms right off that MF. What are you doing?
I'm over at TMZ. What?
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
You don't need to read that.
It says you left your wife of
that's the fake
25
news.
Years for Caitlin Mooney? Caitlin Mooney?
It's Caitlin.
Caitlin Mooney, the star of the Gung Ho movies? And, okay, here's another shocker. It says she's pregnant. Steve?
Mm-hmm?
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 53. Why?
Uh-huh. And you're 53, she's 28?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Look, I know what you're thinking. He's already spent the last 18 years helping raise three teenage sons. Is this guy prepared to be at the beck and call of a food allergy-riddled 13-year-old at age 66? Well, Tom, yes. Yes, I am. And I'll tell you what else, I'm positively giddy about it.
Uh-huh. Are you really, really positively giddy about it?
Yeah. And look, regarding my energy,
uh-huh.
I'll tell you one thing. I'll have plenty of energy as long as they're still making pharmaceutical-grade Krill.
As long as they're making pharmaceutical-grade Krill. So you're doing cocaine, you're 53, and you're doing cocaine.
Hey, don't knock it. It helps me stay up late storyboarding this new Katy Perry Bruno Mars video that I'm writing and directing.
Uh-huh. So you're writing and directing a Katy Perry Bruno Mars video?
I am, yeah. It's this new song that they've just done. It hasn't really come out yet. It's called This Is the Greatest Night of My Badass Life.
Okay.
It's one of those songs that you hear all the time now on the radio where the singer sounds like they're trying to convince themselves that they're powerful and that they're having the time of their life, even though you can totally feel that they hate themselves and want to jump off a bridge.
Sure. Songs, there seems to be a fair amount of songs about just like,
I'm going to do it tonight, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, like, motivational party songs.
That's like the top 40 now. I go to the gym, and it's like it's all these songs telling me what to do.
And it just like having a good time.
Yes.
I guess if people want to have a good time, maybe that's what helps them have a good time. Then a song like that kind of guides them.
I just don't like being told to have a good time. You know what I mean?
Sure. I get you with that.
Like, remember that song, Pass the Dutchie, on the right-hand side? On the left-hand side?
Yeah.
I wanted to pass it on the right-hand side. I felt shamed.
Uh-huh. That you didn't get to pass the Dutchie on your side.
Yeah, and I should note that the Dutchie was my... You probably had to bleep that out, didn't you?
I definitely had to bleep that out, yes.
Well, oh, you know what, though? Getting back to, you know, my career, I haven't completely shut the door on TV.
Okay.
And that's why I'm excited to talk to you.
Why is that?
Well, newsflash, I'm currently in talks with the Shout Network about a very exciting new show.
Okay, what is this new show?
All right, it's called The Jersey Ape Monster.
Uh-huh. Jersey Ape Monster. What is that? Is that like a, it sounds like a Stranger Things kind of show.
Absolutely, but even cooler, even scarier and weirder.
Okay, all right. This is actually up my alley.
It's right up your alley. I second that, and I'll tell you, I'm doing research on it right now, and your input would be indispensable.
Okay, like what? I'd love to help.
All right. Well, the first question I have is, when the staff at McDonald's sees you lumbering in at 10 a.m. in your dirty sweatpants, your filthy Crocs, and that rat T-shirt, do they already have your 10 Egg McMuffins ready, or do you have to grunt the order at them?
Okay. So this is for me to answer.
Yes, yeah.
I generally don't eat Egg McMuffins, and if I actually was eating an Egg McMuffin, I wouldn't need to eat 10 of them. I would eat an Egg McMuffin.
All right.
Yeah.
At what point does one of the staff yell, "It's here! Whose turn is it to spread hay under its table?"
Okay, so I'm in it now. And you're putting hay under the table because I'm assuming I'm making such a...
Well, you do your duties there, too, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of...
Yeah.
Third question... In your day job as a sewer skimmer, separating the floating filth from the regular filth, I was curious.
I don't work as a sewer skimmer separating what? Floating filth?
From the regular filth.
Yeah, I don't know if that's even a job, a sewer skimmer.
I have a vivid memory of you saying that you work at the Newbridge Sewer Treatment Center. I like a lot. You say it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, Steve, I gotta say, this Jersey Ape thing is based on me. You know, you're trying to ask me questions. It's based on me. And also, on a sidebar there, I gotta say, I listen to all the episodes. And then you think I work at a sewer treatment center? You know?
I know you said that.
But I've heard all the episodes.
Let's talk pizza shops and stuff.
Uh-huh. No, let's not talk pizza shops and stuff.
Kevin Smith?
No, I'm not talking Kevin Smith or pizza shops or candy bars or I don't want to
talk. Big
Dipper? I don't want to talk about Big Dipper or your dumb. You know what? I got to just say the other thing that's bugging me, Steve, is this whole I'm just a Jersey guy routine.
I am!
And meanwhile, you're the biggest Hollywood sleaze cliche I've ever heard.
What? You've got to be kidding me!
Yeah, no, you don't think so? The stuff you're talking about, Swiss chard with Ludacris, and then you're
Seth Rogen, too.
And what?
Seth Rogen, too.
And Seth Rogen. Oh,
yes,
How could I forget? See, you're just validating what I said, you know? You've turned into a complete, it took you one movie to turn into a complete cliche from where you started off, where you wrote about what you knew, and then suddenly now you don't know anything other than this trash you're talking about. So that's all you write about, and I guess it's all you're gonna write about.
Hey. Crack the good book much? It doesn't sound like you do.
Oh, the good, so...
Yeah, I think if you're open to, I don't know the exact location of this, but, it's the thing that Jesus said.
All right, well, can you even name one book in the... First of all, okay, I'll say this.
Yeah, Egyptians.
Okay.
Yeah, this thing is from Egyptians like 10...
I'm going to say this.
Egyptians 420, that's what it is.
You don't... 420, Egyptians 4... Yeah, okay. You got your dumb reference. I'm going to say this. You probably call it the good book. Do you even know what the book is actually called? Not just the good book?
Yeah, church book.
Church book.
It is. Okay. You got me. Big black church book with the red pages.
No, that's not what the... It's not called the big black church book with the... It's called the Holy Bible.
What? I've done my research now. I've done my holy research now. You
don't know what you're talking about.
Look, like Jesus said, you cannot judge a player until you've driven 100 miles in his Tesla. What?
I don't even know what to make of that.
Well, I want to tell you there, son. Oh, no.
What is that?
Oh, no! Crap.
What?
My yacht just collided with Grohl's submarine.
With Dave Grohl?
Yes.
Dave Grohl has a submarine?
Are you kidding? All the Foos have subs.
Okay.
Yeah, they're actually opening a sandwich chain called Foo Subs. It's pretty good. They scoop out the dough, unlike Subway. So yeah, on Subway, like it's a lot of that bread, and you wish that there was more crust and more filling in there. They scoop the meat out there, the guts of the bread. They scoop out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like very interesting. That you and your friends in the Foo Fighters. Talk about sandwiches.
Yeah, we do. Oh yeah. Man,
you know. So you're in a thing, but your yacht. I mean, are you actually okay?
No, this thing's going down really fast.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I gotta look. All of our disagreements aside, Steve, that's horrible.
Oh, stop with the waterworks, Jannies. I called for my other yacht, and it'll be here in about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Your other yacht.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the bummer of this is that the S&M dungeon on the other yacht doesn't have the harnesses that I enjoy, like the one on this one.
Yeah.
So it's a trade-off, I guess. Oh, well, you know, at least we got all the sex slaves. I mean, the guests up to the deck.
Hold on.
So
what did you just say? You said you got You said you got the sex slaves?
What are you talking about? Hey, keep that sewer clean, Tim. Ciao.
There you go. They all turn phony. Hollywood sleaze, man. Straight up Hollywood sleaze. You know which band? We're not Hollywood sleazes. You know what band? They were not Hollywood sleazes. Well, I'm going to play something from them. They were a band called Royal Trucks. They were not Hollywood sleazes. They were rock stars. And they did it. And we're going to hear what they did. Royal Trucks. Yeah, it's Royal Trucks. How about that? You like that, Mike? It's got rock guitars on it. The Flag from their hit album, Cats and Dogs. As always, when it's Royal Trucks, it's on Drag City. Can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong with it. You know what else you can't go wrong with? Can't go wrong with... What can't you go wrong with? I'll tell you what you can't go wrong with. My friend, Julie Klausner, can't go wrong with that. Hi. That one. Pull it down.
Oh boy.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You're all right?
I mean, honestly?
Yeah. Don't I know it? Yeah, right? Right?
Mutter.
I know.
Popeye.
Yeah. Remember when Popeye muttered?
He was like, mutter.
He was complaining about spinach?
He was complaining that there wasn't enough spinach.
Really? A spinach shortage? In that weird boat town?
I saw that movie again recently, and that whole opening number is about, like, I didn't really quite get what the game was, except for This Town is Weird.
Yeah.
Like, basically, that song could have been called This Town is Weird.
I haven't seen that movie since...
You quit cocaine?
Since I quit coke. I can't go people, places, and things. I can't go back. It'll send me on a spiral.
Yeah.
Another Popeye cocaine tear. I just go right to the mid-period Robert Altman films.
Yeah, where you're like, these are good.
Yeah.
These are good. I'm going to tell all my friends these are good.
Have you ever watched Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean? I mean, like, really seen it.
While you're tooted up.
Yeah. Have you ever really seen it?
Popeye, we had a prop woman the second season of... We had prop eye was our prop woman the second season of Difficult People, and she would talk to herself constantly, like, under her breath. Like, there was a scene where I was eating a sundae, and in between takes, she'd have to, like, put more whipped cream on it. Mm-hmm. So she'd come in and take it, and then she'd go, gotta beef up that sundae.
Gotta beef up the sundae. Put her a little... Gets to beef up the Ringo Spickles, but ready whip. Is that enough ready whip on the cherry on top of the sundae? Ringo Spickles. So Julie can do the scene here. Continuity.
One more take, and then it's the Abbey, and then we're at the martini shot, and then I go home to...
Continuity. You gotta have a sundae. You can't have a... Can't have the whipped cream level go down on the sundae. I've heard this. The other movie, Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard this theory?
Okay.
That movie
is
Popeye.
Oh, how so?
Because he's wearing.
Oh boy.
She's dressed in red. Right.
Okay.
And he eats this
pudding.
Instead of spinach, he eats pudding. Right.
Uh huh.
And then he like.
Who's Bluto? Smigel.
No, it'd be, what's his face? Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah. PSH.
Because somebody said that it's like, because the music's in it too.
Well, yeah. But that was when, like, Paul Thomas Anderson was, like, concerned that a couple people didn't know that he was influenced by Altman.
That, to put the thing in.
Yeah, yeah. That was him just being, like, staying up all night. I'm not going to say why. You know,
he likes watching none of my old business. Movies, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
He likes watching
maybe
old
he
movies.
Likes watching old movies, such as The Tale of the Ski Trip.
Look, you go down this road.
Go down these rails.
You're like...
Listen. And he was like, maybe people don't know that Altman is my influence.
But after Magnolia, how can anybody be like, I wonder if this guy ever saw a Robert Altman movie?
Shortcuts.
Yeah.
With earthquakes instead of frogs.
Isn't it funny that it's called Shortcuts? Right? And it's long.
What was the long cut?
Yeah. If this is the shortcut, I think I'll...
The director's cut.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, the director's... Sounds like they didn't cut. And Shortcuts. I remember seeing Shortcuts, it's like... Huey Lewis is camping?
Yes, Huey Lewis.
What am I watching here?
Come back to the campground, Huey Lewis.
Can you imagine the news when they find out? So anyway, like him having to like explain to these guys. Like
to the news.
Like the guy's done a whole lot of movies. Like he did MASH, not the TV show.
No, the TV show?
No, Klinger's not in the movie of the thing. But Radar is the one guy who actually was in both. Gary Berghoff was...
You think Huey Lewis is going that deep?
Explaining to the news that one guy, because it was like, And they're just, he's like, so I'm going to be in this guy's movie. And they're like, well, oh, cool, we're going to be in a movie.
Right, like in Back to the Future?
Yeah.
They're like, well, when do we show up?
And
when do we,
like,
report to the clock tower?
Look, let me talk to Robert about this. Like, he really doesn't like the news. It's not me.
Got to break the news to the news.
Yeah. Like, Huey goes back to Robert Altman, and it's just like, are there any parts for five other guys?
Can they be guys like at Griffith Park that were affected by the earthquake in some way?
That one hoodlum in the news. Remember the bass player looked like a hoodlum. He was like a greaser.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to pull up a picture of this hoodlum from the...
It's funny that Huey Lewis didn't change his name when he was a film actor the way Meatloaf changed it to Meatloaf a Day.
Yeah.
Keeps the casting director at
bay. Yeah, exactly. Keeps the audience away.
Meatloaf a Day. But Huey Lewis didn't change it to, like, Hugh Lewis or something.
Yes, it wasn't Hubert Lewis. Dr. Hubert Lewis.
N, like the letter N, and then DeNews.
Hubert N.
DeNews.
Yeah, De Niro DeNews. Let's see. This one. Look at this hoodlum.
Let me see.
Look at this guy.
Is he a greaser?
Look at this guy.
Oh my God! He looked like Steve Baters.
Imagine him showing up to the Shortcuts casting. Right? You see this guy, Mike? Look. Search Huey Lewis bassist.
Tell me if you've seen this guy at masses.
Masses. And by the way, Masses fans and AP Mike fans, apmike.bandcamp.com. What do you get there? What don't you get there is what you should probably ask yourself. They have Masses shirts, headshots, Mike's music. He's working on a calendar.
What if we just...
A 2018 calendar.
Have you ever just like wanted to drive your car right into the Hudson River?
Oh, yeah, I tell you. Sometimes I just think about the idea that I'm going to, that 6 months from now, I'm going to get out a thumbtack and stick an AP Mike calendar up on the wall.
Yeah.
And look at it all year. Yeah, it's a little hard sometimes.
Yeah.
to go on when you think about.
You're like, well, maybe 2018 will be better. And then you think 2018 and then you think calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be right here, isn't it?
Oh, it'll be right there. Yeah. Ugh, gotta hang the AP Mike calendar. Right? Popeye's
gotta
like,
get the continuity in the...
Gotta find a thumbtack. Hang the AP Mike calendar in the wall.
She would also... Popeye would also talk under her breath about, like, you know, Arthur would be cooking or whatever, and there were no carrots out. And so she'd be like, carrots are in the fridge. Like, she just decided that that's why there were no carrots on the counter. She's like, well, the carrots are in the fridge. So, you know.
Carrots on the counter. It's like I chop them up for stew. Because Arthur, he likes to cook on the show. And, of course, you're talking about difficult people. Now, get this, everyone.
Get it.
You say to yourself, what's the best show on TV? Stranger Things. No, it's not Stranger Things.
Barb got... Ugh.
Barb. She got nominated for...
I love how much you hate Barb.
Nominated for an Emmy.
It's so funny to me how much you think Barb sucks. Because she got herself killed.
She couldn't even sit on a diving board. Her one friend is like a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
She's blocking her friend.
Yeah.
And then she goes and sits on a diving board, moping around, and then suddenly gets dragged into the upside down.
Which I think is a good lesson for mopers. Because I think that's important, that people need to know that when you sulk, nothing good comes of it. No one notices you and gives you what you want. Alien comes and messes. That's what happened to her, right? I don't know.
I think the Demogorgon.
I was half watching, to be honest with you.
So she went in and she hung out around a pool.
Yeah.
If I'm supposed to follow the logic of Stranger Things, there's pool monsters. or there's like a pool, a doorway for the pool.
Uh-huh. Pool door.
And then the he's looking up. He's like, he sees like Barb's feet. And he's like, reaches up like, boop, and pulls her down into the upside down.
Yeah.
And then kills her.
Sure.
But then the other kid is running around.
Mm-hmm.
He gets away from this monster.
How?
He just was.
He don't dangle his feet.
He was like crafty.
Uh huh.
He was like in Meatballs.
Right.
Woody the Wabbit. He was fast. He was little. He ran.
Okay.
The Demogorgon couldn't catch him.
The Demogorgon.
So then Winona Ryder ties a rope around her.
Uh huh. Around
herself.
Around herself.
Climbs into a tree door.
Right.
Goes in with the gun or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Am I getting this right?
Sure.
I actually am. That's the most upsetting part of this. I think
it's
I'm not
like
far off.
A year and a half ago.
It seems like I watched that 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was on, it was on
last summer,
July
right?
is when that thing started. It seemed like it was so long ago.
Yeah.
So then they find the little kid. Then they find like Barb's dead there.
Uh-huh. Good.
And then they get the kid out, but then the kid's got the spores coming out of his mouth at the end.
Oh, that was a bummer.
Well, you got to have season two. Ooh.
Even Stranger Things, it's called, I think.
It's called Even Stranger Things. I own the... I think I own evenstrangerthings.net. Is that right? Don't I?
Evenstranger.things. I just remember Winona Ryder, like, starting at an 11 without her acting, and you're just like, you're not going to go... What's going to happen when you find out your kid's missing? And then what's going to happen when you find out there's aliens?
Mm-hmm.
You really do own
that.
Yeah,
I know. Go to
why is it snowing?
Because that's the spores.
Okay.
This one takes place in winter. Go to Even Stranger Things.
Yes, there are two different answers.
Well, the spores come out in winter. EvenStrangerThings.net. Go there. And I did that with... what was that website I used to... I don't even know. Squarespace?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So whether you need a landing page or a...
Whether you need a landing page or a beautiful blue apron, do you have 25 hours to chop a carrot?
Yes. Hey.
Hey, idiot.
Would you like... what are you doing from 4 p.m. till 10 p.m.?
How about... And you could think eating... Close.
Yeah.
No.
Would you? Yes. Hey, would you like to eat dinner at 11 o'clock but start making it at 3:30 in the afternoon? Well, have we got the thing for you?
Yeah.
And it'll be.
It's the busy work.
Two portions.
Of food. Yeah.
No leftovers. You're going to be just a little bit hungry after you finally finish eating this stuff. Not super hungry.
Right.
Slightly hungry.
Got
you
good,
wish.
Got good news. Here's a pepper.
Just
make it, chop this pepper up,
in its
and
own
then
package.
Come to me when you're done. It's like study hall.
Yeah.
Did you finish that?
Yeah.
All right, well, here's another thing to do.
Yeah.
You idiot.
Look, I feel so bad. My poor wife would do this thing, and she'd be making this thing. She's open. First of all, there's like 40 pounds of plastic in this thing, because like there's a...
It's not Green Apron, my friend.
No, it was not Green Apron.
Not Green Apron.
It had a bag with the salt
asbestos.
In it. It was like you open it, and it's just like, oh, they had to put salt separately in a little. Its
oh,
own
really?
Little bag. It's like there's no
might
paper.
Be, it's like silica gel, like when they put in with electronics.
Maybe we were eating silica gel. Boing. Right.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
But when they say "do not eat" on this, that's they're just saying that because they want more of it.
Well, I think it's like, well, why did you bring it up unless?
Yeah.
You're trying to save some for yourself
because
you know how delicious it is.
Exactly. Look at the silica gel.
Put it in the litter box.
Ooh, I think I'll put the silica gel on Julie's sundae. Mix the silica gel with the rainbow sprinkles.
See how she reacts and see how she
stopped breathing.
Treats the next prop master.
Julie, stop breathing. Star of the show was... pointing at her throat. She's silent screaming, trying to...
Well, you know my thing about how I just don't like listening to podcast hosts describe food. Because it's like, it's for me, it's bad enough when like a waiter talks about the specials. It's like nothing's more embarrassing to me.
The word, there's this,
try to make it sound like not just delicious, but like delectable.
Yeah.
Which is nauseating.
But meanwhile, it's all leftovers. It's stuff that's going bad as they're reading it. That they have,
they have to unload.
They're praying you order the special because they're going to throw it out
before
in
the
2 hours.
Yeah. Before the raccoons feast.
Yeah.
The raccoons are the ones listening to the specials and they've got their bibs tucked into their like.
We have a lamb shank with a mint jelly glaze.
And they bite their long nails. They go.
Yeah, the rats. It's like Ratatouille.
Trash pandas.
Trash pandas. It's a, cause I ate last week at this place and I said to the guy, like, I just know what I want. And the guys basically said, like, I have to read the specials.
Oh, Jesus.
And then when you go to this cheesecake factory, they used to have this thing where they're just like, we have to tell you the special cheesecake of the week or whatever, or we can we have to say, so, who's got room for cheesecake?
Yeah.
We have a very exciting cheesecake. Want to tell you about a
I want to tell red you about velvet. This cheesecake before I lose my job.
Yeah, please just.
Nothing, just please let me tell you about this red velvet.
And we don't need any cheesecake. Please just shut
just
up.
Just shut up.
Just let me say this
shut
about the cheesecake.
Shut up and let me feed my family.
I just.
Not what you're, not the garbage you're eating.
He's over there. Look, he's listening. They're everywhere. They hear. Just let me finish talking about this cheesecake.
What's his worst? Do you have room for dessert or can I tempt you with dessert?
Tempt.
Yeah.
I think tempt.
Yeah.
Because it's like.
May I tempt, sir?
Yeah.
Sir?
So what did you say? Which one was it? Do you have room for dessert?
Yes. Which I also think is pretty gross. It's like the contents of my stomach. I know they're your
up
business.
For discussion. Yeah.
Because we're in this, like, it's a transaction.
What if I said, snappy comebacks
for
style.
Stupid questions.
Yeah. If I said, I actually don't have room, but hold on. I'm going to go make myself throw up. That dessert sounds delicious. I'm pretty full from the meal I had. I'm going to go make myself throw up, and I'd like one of those, please.
Listen, I'm going to go over there. You're going to go over there.
Yeah.
When we come back, I'm going to have room for dessert, and you're going to have a dessert for me.
And you're going to have to probably do some cleaning in the bathroom. You might not like that part of the transaction here. It's
tempt away, my friend.
Can I tempt you with some flourless? What's wrong? What happened to flour? You can't have a flour.
You don't like a. I like a flourful cake.
Would you like some? We have a flourless chocolate cake.
They're saying that and people around the table make eye contact and they go,
So it's either the flourless chocolate cake or the fruit tart.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go puke my guts out.
I'm gonna
get
a Snickers bar across the street.
I'm gonna go to the gas station and get a bag of Skittles for my dessert.
Yeah.
Can I tempt you with a gas station bag of Skittles?
Yeah. I hope you have room for a Milky Way.
Guts.
That I got back on Halloween.
Because there's a Sunoco.
I have these left over from Halloween. Don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters in my building anymore.
Long story short.
Long story short, the landlord is really making it hard to raise a family in this building. Yeah. So it's a lot
of
professional.
And I bring home 3 dates. They disappeared. All of a sudden.
So can I tempt you with a fun size Milky Way?
From my pocket.
Yeah, it's $11.
Just pay, it's not on the menu. You can't put that on your card.
It's not on the menu.
Not on the menu I'm selling off.
This is my menu.
And then it's like
the server.
It's like you seem to be so concerned with getting fired a minute ago when you were like, just let me read the specials because my boss is looking at me.
Yeah.
And now you're emptying your pockets and selling whatever in them.
You have an alternate menu that you wrote out on that clearly is not affiliated with this restaurant.
Right.
I also have other things for sale. You look like what, a medium? You wear a medium ball cap?
Yeah.
So we have I have ball caps in
my trunk.
In my trunk. What teams do you like? Orlando Magic?
You You look like an Orlando Magic fan.
I used to work at a Lids.
didn't we have a Lids there story was a thing. At one point?
Because for the show Difficult People, which is the hit show on Hulu, which comes back for its third.
It's a hit for at least 30 people, but they've got great taste, these 30 people.
The greatest season of the show yet is about to happen in August.
That's happening.
And I had the privilege.
Honor and privilege.
I was blessed to have written on the show.
Yes.
And there was a point where
we had Billy work at Lids.
Billy worked at Lids.
At LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And that didn't, oddly enough, that didn't have legs.
Yeah.
Either that or we couldn't shoot at LaGuardia. I don't remember which, but.
Probably both. Like, LaGuardia seems like they'd just be like.
What? No.
Or they would just be like, look, just buy a ticket for somewhere.
Yeah, buy a ticket. And you can, like, just film whatever you want.
If you buy a ticket, you can hang out all day and shoot whatever you need to shoot. Everybody's got to buy a ticket, though.
Yeah. And it's like a cover charge. It's the new way that the mayor feels. De Blasio feels more comfortable this way, like, charging a cover before he gives a permit.
A permit for filming. Mm-hmm. So everybody goes into LaGuardia and they're just like, yes, we'd like 40 one-way tickets from LaGuardia to Newark Airport.
Yes, for the cast of Younger.
Yes, it's a three-minute flight.
The cast of Younger is doing the scene.
Younger!
At the what is that place called? Like Chibo or something? What are those like fancy, like the place where you buy a pack of gum that's like $6 instead of... Oh, not Tudson News.
At the airport?
Yeah, like it's like white with, it's like a word for food.
The place that has like even less options, where you're just like, you know how there used to be not a whole lot of options? We have less options, it's more, everything's
more
expensive.
It's more expensive. You could get like 3 malted milk balls in this little white box.
Yeah.
$12.99.
We're selling things that are weirdly hard to eat on the go at an airport.
For the price of a pair of earbuds.
Yeah, that you get to carry onto the plane and eat a weird...
Like an animal.
Weird sandwich. Like, I'm going to eat my food now. Is that cool if I eat my food before takeoff? Like...
It's like, I appreciate the person that eats all their popcorn before the movie starts. That's my kind of person. I like someone who doesn't have self-control with food in certain situations, and that's one of them. I find that endearing. But if you have to eat your sandwich before the flight. Yeah.
That's not like before the movie.
No!
Well, it's before the movie, before we can watch the movies on the screen.
Oh,
on the in-flight movie.
The in-flight entertainment?
Yeah.
What's the worst movie you've ever seen on a plane?
Oh, I can answer this one very definitively. I flew to Los Angeles on an airline called Tower Air, and they had three. Let your phone ring, by the way.
What's going on out there? Is that the
pizza man? Someone's
doing
a different show out there.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds like a good show.
Yeah.
Well, at least the people you work with here respect you.
Yeah. Why don't you turn your ringer up a little louder? With that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, me. The pizza's
better.
Okay.
It better be.
Okay, I'm gonna say this first of all. There better be some left over when we get out there for it. If I get out there and it was like last week where there were 2 slices left, and they were weird. They looked weirdly touched. I couldn't figure out. They looked interfered with.
You dusted them for fingerprints.
Yeah. And the mic. I think he almost did something to him.
Like what?
So, go get the pizza, please. Of course.
So what was the movie?
This airline, Tower Air, defunct airline.
Which I think Tom Hanks' son made a documentary about, didn't they?
Tower Air?
Yeah.
Yes.
The defunct Tower Air. It was called All Things Must Fly, right?
Yes, it was him.
Yeah.
It was Colin Hanks.
Yep.
Going with his arms out. He's like, I'm an airplane.
And then Rita Wilson going, good job. Good job, dear.
And he yelled at me once on Twitter when I made
Colin
fun
Hanks?
Of Colin Hanks when I made fun of the guy Andy Serkis, the guy who puts the tennis ball outfit on or the ping pong ball.
Yes.
Thing I made fun of. I was just like,
what do you say?
Why does everybody say this guy's an actor with this thing? He plays a monkey and everything, and he's just like ooh ooh. Like, I couldn't do that. Go get me one of those things. I'll be on set like, woo, stomping around like a monkey.
And then he's like,
Lord of the Rings. Blah. So he moves his hands like, blah, like that. I could do that. He was just like, hey, I was in King Kong with him and he was great or something.
Oh.
So I was just like, okay. Like, all right, I'll spot you that. I've never worked with Andy Serkis.
Grovel. Yeah, exactly. You win that.
Seems like a nice enough guy.
I can't believe, yeah.
Seems like a nice guy. He gave me what fur?
He threw himself in front of Andy. He was Andy Serkis's human shield.
For the movie? For King Kong?
Yeah, he had a costume with even more ping pong balls on it. That means that you're playing something that's slightly more dense to animate.
Where they really need to get the motion down, yeah.
Yeah, the more ping pong balls you have. If you have a tennis ball on you, you're really serious.
Oh yeah, well, it's usually a stick with a tennis ball on a that you're supposed to like look at, like it's you suddenly become a cat.
The way that you throw a ball at a dog that you don't want to get slobber on your hand, yeah. And you're like, what are you doing hanging out with a dog anyway that you don't want to touch the ball?
Yeah, you got a dog.
Look, it's a ball thrower.
What? I got my dog, Good and Poochie. This dog picks up her stuffed animal, has it in her mouth. She's running around with it. Then she walks over to me and smushes it, this wet thing, on my arm. Like, it's, to her, she knows it's the funniest thing ever to just drop. Like, once it's, like, thoroughly slobbered on, it's like, she just goes, it's like, it's like,
surprise.
Of course, yeah. So, Tower Air.
Yeah, so what movie? Was it a community experience or was it you could choose?
Community experience. Okay. They had three airports they flew out of. Los Angeles. Well, by all means, drop something a little louder out there. Listen, I feel like somebody's going to play You May Be Right next, Billy Joel. So they went to LaGuardia,
yeah.
Los Angeles, yeah. And Jerusalem. It was like
Jew laden.
So pretty much your options were pretty limited on Tower Air. I get on the plane going from LaGuardia to Jerusalem. Of course, I was going back to Jerusalem.
You had to put a note in the Wailing Wall.
Yes, I had to put a note apologizing for making fun of Andy Serkis into the Wailing Wall. No, I was going to Los Angeles, and the movie they showed was...
Let's go.
12 Angry Men.
No.
Starring Tony Danza.
Oh!
The remake of 12 Angry Men, which was like a Showtime production. And this is like Showtime a while ago. This is not...
Shameless.
This is not Shameless.
Yeah.
This is not
Masters of not none.
Yeah.
But some sex.
Yes. It was not that. This was the era of Showtime where it would be like Super Dave or whatever they did then. So remember Super Dave?
Do your impression, Larry.
Larry, you idiot.
Little Orphan, yeah.
If you think you're going to get me to... So, we watched on the flight 12 Angry Men starring Tony Danza.
Okay.
Hey, I'm saying he's innocent. I don't know. Let's take another look here at this case. Are we sure about this? He's guilty.
I will say...
Hey, I don't know if he's guilty. Let's take a look. Let's take a look at the evidence again.
I will say Tony Danza is like a realistic juror. Maybe not for that play.
He seems like a guy who would want to be on jury.
He's like, you make $30 a day.
Yeah.
You're out of there by 4.
Yeah. He just, I want to be on a real long trial. Yeah. He was, yes. Somebody just put on Twitter, yes, Red Shoe Diary era.
Oh, certainly.
They could have shown an episode of the Red Shoe Diaries.
That would have been too soft, especially on the Jerusalem flights. I don't think that would fly.
No. Thankfully, Tower Air is not an option anymore.
I learned that from that documentary.
Yes. All things must fly. So, difficult people. 10 episodes. One's funnier than the next.
Oh, I'm telling you. Boy, I can't wait for people to see it.
You people out there are in for a sight. When this season starts, I'm telling you, this is the funniest season.
It's
of the show's always been funny. Season one was funny. Season two, very funny. Season three,
yeah,
the funniest.
It's
get ready.
It's good. I love it. I like it.
Who's a guest who's on the show?
Chris Elliott. Chris Elliott.
Yeah,
was the most fun I ever had. Just that whole day.
He's so funny.
And I know this is like no one likes to be like, he made me laugh, but he made me laugh all day. He made me laugh is like a thing you say when, you know, what do you love about him? What do you like about your new crush?
He makes me laugh.
We make each other laugh.
Yeah.
But he made me laugh.
I like when some old dude is like, it's like, she makes me feel young. It's just like, that's the most repulsive thing I've ever heard. She makes me feel young.
Because I'm hanging out with a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So I pretend I'm a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
So it's not even like, it's not even, she makes me feel young. It's, I pretend that I'm young.
Yes. She allows me to pretend that I'm young. She gives me an opportunity to falsely pretend that I am two-thirds younger than I am right now.
That's so nice of her. She's so special in that way.
She lets me pretend I'm young. Mike? How's the pizza? Very good. What is it? What kind?
What'd you guys get? Plain?
What? Brooklyn pie.
What does that mean? Oh, you mean the place they ordered from.
It means it's got a beard.
The name of it.
Pizza's got a beard.
They have beard clippings as a topping.
It means a pizza's got like a ski cap beard, and a beard.
Beard clippings and cocaine.
It's Brooklyn pie.
The crust has got white stuff. You're like.
It's not called Brooklyn. That's the name of the pizza, not the place. What's a Brooklyn pie? Oh, so it's sauce. It's upside down pizza. It's like
what?
A Stranger Things
like
pie.
The upside down place?
Yeah. It's the upside down. The sauce is upside. The sauce is on top of the pie, and the cheese is underneath.
And Barb is already writing her Emmy speech.
I'd like to thank. And the winner is Barb.
What? Why?
I was on screen for 3.5 minutes on Stranger Things. Yes, but those. Yeah. 3.5 minutes can make a lot of change in the world.
Those 3.5 minutes caused more tweets.
Yes.
Than other things that caused tweets.
The little Barb that could, some would say. Of course, I want to thank my people, my representative, my team.
My amazing team.
Team Barb.
And I want to thank someone from Twitter that said, OMG Barb, no.
I want to thank people who incorrectly and falsely conflated my character to being important in the show in any way, other than just being cannon fodder for an early episode of the show. I had no importance in the entirety of the show.
And I want to thank the costume designer who put me in clothes that made people feel like I was quirky.
Yeah.
And therefore,
I reminded them of the past.
And for that, I want to say thank you, Karen, for picking out pants, a turtleneck, and a funky pair of glasses. I want to thank my glasses.
Ooh, you gotta get glasses for Barb. Get a little special.
Gonna beef up little, those kinda, kinda glasses.
Little scarf. A little ascot. Cravat.
Did you know that in order to sing the Popeye theme?
Yeah.
If I were to, on television, let's say.
Okay.
If I were to go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
$10,000. Isn't that shocking?
Who wrote that?
Well, exactly.
That seems
It was
like,
written in like 1860.
Yeah.
But this guy died at like 109.
Yeah.
And it has to be that he died like 75 years ago or something.
Oh, my God.
But think about that. That in order for someone to sing the Popeye theme, which seems like it was a song that was around before the Star-Spangled Banner.
That sounds like reappropriate. Like this guy.
This is a cash grab.
Finally put his name on it.
Right. Mr. Popeye.
Me.
Mr. Popeye. Yeah.
Popeye song.
Popeye the Music Man. That's
Popeye.
Me.
Can you imagine?
I write on a music stand.
$10,000.
Yeah. What are you going to use that to feather? What kind of nest are you feathering with that cashola?
But think of that's his grandkid is spending that money now.
Great.
Grandkid. He's burning through the Popeye money.
And it ain't much at this point.
Yeah.
But don't you think that should be public domain, like a Popeye cartoon? Yeah. Popeye anything!
At this point.
Yes.
All the Disney stuff is supposed to be public
well,
domain.
Well, they keep making it like.
They keep extending it.
That's cheating.
It is cheating. By this point, think about it this way. What if Sherlock Holmes was still owned by the Arthur Conan Doyle estate? And there's 8 million different versions of Sherlock Holmes because it's public domain.
Yeah.
People do what they want with it, and you make all different fun versions of Sherlock Holmes.
You get Lucy Liu to do something.
Yes. You do that. You do Frankenstein.
You put a basset hound in a funny hat.
Yeah. I could do Frankenstein now. I can't make him green like the Universal Studios one because that's their copyrighted image.
Wait, they own that green?
Well, they own the bolts in the neck because that was their invention.
But what about the green? Is it a specific? Do they own a specific color of green?
I mean, he was gray in the movie. I guess they could say he was green. Those movies weren't color.
What about?
But the image is owned by Universal. But the story of Frankenstein
is public domain.
Is public domain.
Because I always, you know, remember when Brian Stack used to play Frankenstein on Conan? He was always blue.
Yeah, I'm sure. I bet you.
Do
that's
you think
why.
That that's why?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But why can't I do? Yes. By this right, we should be doing this. I should have AP Mike doing Mickey Mouse.
Right.
Right?
Mickey Mouse meets Popeye.
Hi, fellas. It's me, Mickey Mouse. Right? Right, Mike?
What?
Get you doing Mickey Mouse. Get Dudio doing Donald Duck. Should be free reign. But no, I'd get shut down. Like.
Goofy's a dog, right?
Goofy sucks. All these Goofy,
but characters
is
there
suck.
Ever been anything where Goofy,
was Goofy?
And Plato was have a, Pluto? Sorry,
Pluto.
The Goofy and Pluto have like. Is there ever been? I'm not a Disney geek, but
yeah,
and I don't disrespect Disney geeks who go to the parks and stuff.
No, that's what. Look, if you go to the place and it makes you happy,
fun is fun.
I
know it sounds like I'm not being sarcastic. I honestly say God bless, but. When it comes to the storytelling and these characters, everyone involved should be ashamed of themselves. Because has there ever been a story where Pluto,
yes,
and Socrates,
uh-huh.
when Pluto and Goofy go out and they say, listen, you're a dog, I'm a dog, how come you walk me?
Yeah.
And has there ever been something where, by the way, I've never thought about this, I'm just thinking about this now. Okay. So Goofy walks Pluto. And Pluto's on all fours, and Goofy's walking him like he's a man, but they're both dogs. That's not a conversation. That seems like that would be in the first season.
Yeah. Or the idea
that
a mouse is walking a dog. Nobody has any problem with that.
Right.
That a mouse.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's...
First of all, a mouse is bigger than a dog. Nobody has anything with that.
Right, but like, if that's the rule, if mice is bigger than dogs...
Yeah,
then how come certain dogs are not, like, I don't the point is I don't get how Goofy can be a dog and Pluto can be a dog and that it's not addressed.
Plato.
Plato at least acts like a dog.
Yeah. As a kid.
Goofy seems to have some psychological problems.
All I liked as a kid was
Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes.
Yep.
She got Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny's so funny.
He's the funniest.
He's so funny.
He just wanted to be left alone.
See, you always say that, and yet...
It's all he wanted.
That's not completely true.
Well, maybe he wanted attention.
He started
a
lot of trouble.
But it was always like when...
when people came a-knocking...
Yeah.
But I agree. When people came to bother him, he was like, thank you. I can have someone to mess around with.
Exactly.
He loved that.
Yeah. Oh, no, he loved... The idea
the
that
the opportunity
if you,
the
worst thing you can Bugs Bunny the greatest moment in Bugs Bunny's life was when suddenly he heard construction up above his
because
he's like, you know what I'm going to do this time?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to shut down a whole construction site. Watch this. Watch me shut this construction, whole construction yeah. site down.
But
You tap dance. Now he's tap dancing.
He's a great dancer.
He's dressed as a lady. He's wearing his
sexy
his,
Viking yeah. outfit.
He's wearing his sexy Viking thing. He's dressed like in a ball gown with big red lips.
The other thing is, he didn't quite go the matronly way of like, other cartoon characters would do drag, where it was like little older ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs was always like, he was just like, if we're going to do this, let's do this.
Yes. And he would just go, he'd have his little red and white striped shirt on and his straw hat.
Oh, that was fun.
And then a minute, and a cane.
Yep. And he'd take his giant bunny paw feet, and he'd do the most graceful dance.
Yeah.
But I do think that his goal is not to be left alone.
Uh-huh.
I think he existed pretending like but ultimately like his life force came from revenge,
from attention and revenge,
right? But for someone else to start it
mm-hmm.
was everything.
Oh him. Yeah, no, he was just
waiting,
giddy when, because there's a point where it's like, all right, maybe don't live
in the middle of like a bullfighting ring.
Yeah, exactly. You might not want to get your rabbit hole.
Like, check the neighborhood first.
In center field of
a real estate
baseball
section.
Stadium.
An inideal location.
Yeah. That baseball game, though, when he beat the Gas House Gorillas. I tell you.
It's your favorite team, isn't it?
It is. When it was just like,
doesn't Mike sell, like, hats in the trunk of his car for the Gas House Gorillas?
Mike? Yeah. What about a hat? You'd wear a hat? What about a hat that says, Mike America, right?
Yep.
And it just says that, Mike America, right? Mike America.
Masses again?
Mike, did you watch the Mike and the Mad Dog documentary?
Oh, was that good?
So good.
Was it?
It was on ESPN. It was.
Oh, wow. That sounds up your alley.
It was so good because it's about these two goons who did a radio show and were huge in New York City. Mike and the Mad Dog. And there was a point in this movie, because their thing takes off, and they're so huge, and then they start fighting. They get into an argument because one time they were flying to a basketball game to go cover a playoff game, and the flight was delayed. And the rescheduled flight didn't have a first class seat, so Mike was like, well, I'm going home then. I'm not flying. If I'm not flying first class, it's like,
okay.
Like, what a pompous.
What are you?
Can't get on a thing. So there was a stretch where they would do their radio show. They wouldn't talk off air, on air, between things for months.
Oh, jeez. Because of this one incident?
Because they fought over one thing like that.
This is the first class thing? Or other things?
They fought for months over that because
really?
Mad Dog was so mad
really
that Mike did that.
He was
yes.
so mad.
Yes. Was that Mike? The jingle feud. I didn't know about that. Oh, there was a jingle feud where one day, because their theme was Mike and the Mad Dog. And then I even remember this. And then, like, Mike was on vacation, so Mad Dog, like, potted the thing down when it would say Mike, and it would just say, like, and the Mad Dog.
No way.
And then he came back from vacation early. And
like in a sitcom when someone's like, I'm here early. What's going on here?
He blew a gasket screaming about that. Isn't that the most unbelievable thing that was? That's all these guys had to fight about at this point was, it's disrespectful that you turned the thing down when my name was being said. The money these guys were making, I tell you, I would go.
How artless, too, that it's, and the Mad Dog. Yeah.
You turned my mic down. That's the one thing the movie missed, though, is the ponderous quality that Mike Francesa has. The movie, just for the pacing of any show, it would have had to have been 6 hours long to properly capture what's annoying about him, is he beats a point into the ground and you feel like you want to bang your head against a concrete wall.
He's filling air time with.
So he's running out the clock every day, I think. He's got 5.5 hours
and
to fill.
And they're sports. Are they like sports prognosticators? Like they just speculate and.
Yeah. And once in a while, they'll talk about things. You realize how limited these guys are to talk about movies or something.
Or wait, they know about sports or they don't? Well,
they know a lot about sports and nothing about anything else is like, they have the worst taste imaginable.
It's always cringy when you overhear someone be like, what was that movie? And you're like, oh no, this is all I have.
Yeah. These are the
only, you know what I mean? Like you're talking about my only friends right now and I really wish you'd get their names right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's Kevin Costner. I mean, he's a good actor, Kevin Costner. I mean, if you see Dances with Wolves, I mean, that's
like, is my sandwich ready? Yes.
He's a good actor.
Please, let this toaster.
He's a good actor.
Why is this moving through the toaster so slowly?
What are your top five favorite Kevin Costner movies? Number five.
Waterworld.
Number four.
Mailman.
Yeah. Number four, Bull Durham. Number three, Bull Durham. Number two, Dances with Wolves.
Number one, Field of Dreams. Ding!
Is
your turkey ranch.
That would be 4 hours, though, of them
right.
talking about the best Kevin Costner movie. Yeah.
So I'd be like, number one is his Whitney Houston eulogy, because I thought it was very well delivered.
Kevin Costner's?
Yeah, and then they'd look at me so blankly.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, they don't even know that that's a Kevin Costner movie. Do you know who LeVar Ball is?
No,
Julie,
I don't.
Well, I'm going to take this as an opportunity for you to learn something. You're going to know about him.
Seems like I will.
Let me be the first person to tell you about LeVar Ball. He's a guy. In the sports world, this guy is like a character incomparable. Nothing has come along in years to be this much of a maniac. He's a guy, LeVar Ball, who raised three sons, Lonzo Ball. What are their names?
Oh, I didn't even realize. Yeah, I just know Lonzo.
I got to pull the three kids. Alonzo?
Right.
Alonzo. L-O-N-Z-O.
Okay. LeVar,
and
Lonzo.
LeVar Ball.
Okay.
He has three kids. Lonzo, LiAngelo, and LaMelo. And he has raised them all to be basketball players.
Okay.
The one, Lonzo, just joined the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of L's here. Lonzo, Los Angeles. So he's like groomed his kids to be stars. They all go to UCLA.
Okay.
And then he wants them to go to the NBA.
Okay.
He's a guy who started, he is like the ultimate stage dad.
Stage dad. Yeah.
But with like sports.
Okay.
With three kids. And he started a sneaker company.
Oh, no.
Like he's like, my kid's not going to sign to Nike or anything. He has this company, Big Baller.
Oh, no.
And it's the corniest. Like, they have their own sneakers, and it's, like, Big Baller. And then he's always, like, he was saying, like, I'm better. Like, because he used to play sports a little bit and, like, averaged, like, 2 points a game in college. But he's like, I was better than Michael Jordan at the
what?
Like, he's, like, over. He's like, and he's so
or
saying,
like, I could have been or I was.
No, he says he was. And he's like, my kid is better than like the Steph Curry, the best guy in the NBA.
Right,
he's like,
right.
So he's making this mess for his son. It's just like, I gotta go play with these guys.
Dad,
you're shooting your mouth off. There's no, I'm gonna say, there's no way. There's not a LeVar Ball reality show in the next
Got
6
it.
Months.
Got it. Leave it to LeVar yes. or something.
He showed up.
Make room for LeVar.
It'll be exactly a big baller.
LeVar knows best.
LeVar
Nothing
knows
on Daddy.
Best.
Nothing on Daddy.
LeVar, yeah, big. Big
or
ballers
father.
Or
yeah.
something. He showed up at WrestleMania a
okay.
couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Tore his shirt off.
What?
This guy is the great. He's going to be a national. Like, he's going to. If this is like. He's heading towards like a Charlie Sheen.
Really?
Type Tiger Blood. Like, of being that level of maniac that.
Terrific.
Will rivet. The entire country.
And he's embarrassing his children.
Oh, he's... The crazy thing is, He's succeeding to this point. He said the other day, me and my second son could beat Shaquille O'Neal and his son in basketball 2-on-2. So Shaquille O'Neal literally said back, if LeVar Ball beats me, I'll super glue this wig to my head forever. He like put a picture of himself with a wig on, with this blonde wig on. He said, if he beats, I'll super glue this wig to my head forever. And then he's like,
I like what LeVar is bringing out from people. That's so funny. Oh, he's
getting everybody. His son is going to get clobbered.
Yeah, but he's making funny. I don't know. It seems like it's a positive influence. He's like a jester.
It's nuts. Is with this guy. And just the idea of these winding people up like Shaq
agents
is like
of chaos.
Shaq's like, wake up, bro. I made more free throws in a game than points you averaged, Mr. 2.2 a game. Like he's like everybody's like mad at this. Like he's trolling.
He's getting people riled up.
He's trolling everybody, and he's
wow.
He's kind of the greatest at it, but he's got this, like, it could work. LeVar, but here's him in his big baller hat.
Do you have a pair on?
I wear big ballers, and they're $900. There's like a pair, there's a pair that's $900 of big baller.
Why? Are they encrusted?
I think his son signed them.
Truffles?
They got truffle oil on them. They slip all over the plate.
What a terrible way to ruin a nice plate of French fries.
To put truffle oil?
Just to be able to smell them across the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to not be able to taste these French fries? I got news for you, buddy. It's like you may as well put patchouli oil on them.
When he went to WrestleMania, he screamed something where hey, Dudio, yeah. Can you find the clip of LeVar Ball yelling about who the best, the only person that can beat him?
He hears you.
He's
he
doing a different show out there. I tell you.
It's like he hears you, but he...
I'm cleaning house. Dudio's going to be the first one to go. You got to go. You got to go after the most... Dudio's like the anchor out there. I knock him out. The other two will be terrified then.
The anchor?
Because they'll think that, like, they were... Like, Mike is like, look, I know I'm completely disposable.
Oh, I know what he wants to talk about.
What did you want?
LeVar Ball.
Oh, okay.
LeVar Ball.
Was at WrestleMania.
He said something at WrestleMania where he said he was going to take someone out.
He was screaming in the ring. Okay. See if you can find the clip of it. Yes, please.
Okay.
So, yeah, LeVar Ball. And somebody on Twitter just said, truffle oil is disgusting. Thank you. And they
thank
said
you.
Thank you to you.
No, thank you.
E-Hools just said that.
I know E-Hools.
She thinks truffle oil is also disgusting.
I believe I've broken bread with E-Hools.
Really?
In the past. I think
so. She says it smells like fish.
Well, no.
It's what pigs root for, right?
Root?
They're like pigs. Rooting around.
If pigs had a... Oh, I thought you meant like if they had a baseball team and they were like rooting for
cheering
the
for yeah. a thing.
They were like, go truffles.
Yeah, they would be like their team would be the oink, truffles.
Oink, 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 da 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 da. Truffles!
And the mascot is a truffle?
Like what kind?
I don't know, even know what a truffle looks like.
They look like... I don't either.
That's so funny. I picture them looking like...
Sometimes someone comes over and shaves one, but you're like, I can't tell what that looked like originally.
Yeah.
But it's stinky. Also, it's stinky. It's so stinky. Why do you need the pigs to get them? I could probably find one because they're so stinky. I could smell one from across a restaurant.
You'd have to get... I think they're just lower to the ground, right?
Than me? You've never seen me do my modern dance.
Yeah, I've never seen
you. I have a modern dance called Looking for Truffles. It's a Kate Bush song.
Mm-hmm. Looking for Truffles.
Yep. And it's just me writhing around on the floor, oinking away.
Horrible.
It's horrible, but it's also gotten into Coachella, baby.
Coachella.
And no, it's got no. I'm sorry. Did I say Coachella? I meant Citronella. No,
so you're
Cinderella.
The
grocery store. Cinderella.
You're at the
I'm playing Cinderella.
The what?
Citarella. It's like Balducci's.
Okay. Is it like a better Balducci's or
no? It's like a gourmet grocery store. Anyway,
look, I eat in places.
I eat in places where you can get a tray.
Where they give me a tray.
Everything is ready.
Yeah.
You don't need to wait.
I'm pretending with this truffle oil thing to even know what any of that stuff is. People are now tweeting at LeVar Ball trying to get him to call in.
Oh, that would be great.
It'd be so great.
It'd be heavenly. And I'd see myself out because I feel like that would just be, he's going to take over the show.
He's going to take over everything.
You could see yourself out. You could have that one of the slices of pizza, which is probably at this point, we don't even
know. Gone. The two of us are going to be just dividing up
the crust.
Pizza. Like, it's just like, all right, I guess sawing the thing with like a little, like a file.
I can't find it.
Oh.
I keep looking.
All right, that's fine.
Why is everyone talking about wrestling stuff lately?
Enjoy that pizza. Oh, enjoy. Wow. Enjoy the pizza. You earned it. Get the pizza. I did that for Mike. Mike loves it. I tell you, the three of them, they hate each other. Mike.
I will say when I was out there, there was like, there was, I don't want to say tension as much as everyone was looking in a different direction. Like, I've seen paintings like that where everyone's looking at a different angle.
Nighthawks.
Yeah.
A great painting. Uh-huh. Nighthawks.
Right.
I like the painting where it's like,
it's
Marilyn Monroe's. James Dean and Bogey.
Fonzie Bear.
Maybe
Bogey. I mean, Fonzie the cool guy. Right. The Fonz.
Yeah. Have you been following this whole Herman the Frog thing?
I think about you every time I see it.
The guy who did the voice of Herman the Frog.
He dropped dead, right? He croaked, literally.
He got screamed at. Because I guess now they said something.
Oh, wait,
today.
Someone died. True or false?
Jim Henson.
No, after him. This is honestly.
I don't think so.
We may as well say Wally Wacky Man three times like Beetlejuice.
Herman the Frog.
Yes.
Did a thing where the guy who was doing the voice of Herman the Frog.
Yeah.
Hey, Dudio.
Yeah.
Someone found the clip and they put it on hashtag listen to the best show.
I heard you tell him to. Dump a can of paint on Wally Wacky Man.
And turn him green.
Yeah.
Nobody would know the difference. These Muppet fans couldn't tell the difference.
Hey, it's me. Herman the Frog.
So what happened? Who yelled at who?
The guy was like, they wouldn't listen to me when I said the Muppets were getting depressing on the show. The new, like that ABC show. He was like,
right, where they
had
like,
Kermit lie on a thing. Or like,
hashtag Smilf and this and that.
And then they were like, then the Muppet family came out, the daughter of Jim Henson came out and just like, this guy was depressing and he wasn't funny anymore.
The one who played Kermit on that terrible show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the guy who's been doing it for 25 years, they're just basically now
that was like the last straw.
Yeah, they're saying he was just so boring as the frog.
That he killed
Is it
himself?
Kermit or Herman?
I think it's Herman.
Herman. So they were saying with Herman the Frog that he was so boring that they had to get rid of him because he was just like bumming.
On that show?
He was bumming everybody. Cheryl Henson said, it says here Kermit. Cheryl Henson says fired Kermit the Frog actor Steve Whitmire was, quote, self-serving.
Oh!
That he performed Kermit as a bitter, angry, depressed victim.
Oh, my God. This is very harsh.
And she goes on to say, in the past few years, he had not been funny or fun.
Wow. Jeez Louise, Cheryl Henson.
Yeah. Well, if he's not fun, then you know what show he could never go on. The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
They do love fun on that show.
Yeah.
It's funny that fun is also in the word funny because the two things are so different.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that true?
That's a great.
There's like.
Fun has nothing to do with
nothing.
Being funny.
And some people don't know that. And those people are dumb
right.
because it is nothing less funny than watching people have fun.
Yeah. Fun is the opposite of funny.
It
I
very
would
well could
say.
Be. Yeah.
It pretty because it's just like. Like
fun is like a mood. What is he saying?
He said, check your mail. Fun is like if you went on like a log flume.
Right.
you'd be like, oh, that was fun.
And funny is when the log flume crashes and people die in an accident.
Yes. Or when the log flume jams up and somebody's stuck sitting on the thing for 40
minutes. I was going to say your Ferris wheel story.
Oh, that Ferris wheel.
That was funny, and it wasn't fun.
Well, there were people on that Ferris wheel having fun.
Right, which makes it even funnier that you were not.
That I was not. Yes. I was not having fun.
No, that is... That was
which is
the,
why it became
very
funny.
Very funny story. Yes. It's a very funny story.
Now, so this Kermit the Frog is definitely... has kind of hit a...
I got one more for you!
One more!
He's not even out here yet! Not only is he the face of the Big Baller Brand, but the face of the Lakers! But we're finna come down and get it right! I welcome you with no further ado, Big Baller's greatest son, Lonzo Ball!
That's him yelling and wrestling.
Wow.
So he's just a straight up character. He's like a cartoon character, this guy. There's no way LeVar Ball does not become a major
reality star.
Absolutely. His son's gonna be a famous basketball player, and this guy is like the ultimate stage dad. It's gonna be spectacular.
I wonder, maybe is there another website he can sue the way that Hulk Hogan sued Gawker? Like maybe he could sue like Huffington Post or something, or
If he goes after, well, maybe he just enters wrestling. I think he needs to be a wrestler full.
Oh, he's right. Of course, I was confused for a minute.
Well, Hulk Hogan is cool. First,
such
of all.
Such a cool guy.
I like his look. What look do you like of his best?
I like him in court.
You like his court look.
I love his court look.
I like when he's wearing a tux. When he's at a formal event, like a WWE fundraiser.
I like it when he's wearing sunglasses indoors,
mm-hmm.
because that way you don't see his shifty little beady eyes.
I like when he rides a motorcycle and his blonde locks.
I like it when he describes himself as all American, and when they're like, "How would you describe the character?" He's like, "All American."
I like his muscles, how wet they look. How strangely...
They look like as wet as the pasta he served in his restaurant.
Can you imagine eating there? Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania.
Pasta Mania.
All the great food here, brother. We got everything. Because everybody knows how awesomely nutritious pasta is. Everyone's in the back taking a nap, brother. Because they loaded up on the Hulkster's pasta.
On the fettuccine.
Yeah. They loaded up on the fettuccine, which is nutritious.
It's called fettuccine nutritious.
It's only got 650 grams of fat. They're over at the Serta. They're in the mall. They went over to Serta to take a nap. They're in the Brookstone chairs, sleeping off Hulkamania, the Hulkster's pasta, brother.
Did they give him a pasta chain because his mustache looked like noodles? It looks like he basically emptied a colander and the rest is just, they're like, well, he already looks like he's got a mouthful of spaghetti.
This guy clearly loves pasta. He's always eating. That's his mustache.
What?
Are you sure?
No.
I think it's pasta.
Cut to like cutting the ribbon on the first restaurant ever.
It's like, and
this
then the guy's
a lifelong dream come true, and brother.
The investor's up close, looking, staring at his face, like it is a mustache.
Then
how about that?
They're like, then why is it red? And they're like, oh, because he's bleeding.
Yeah,
is that marinara sauce on the end of his spaghettis? No, it's at the beginning of his spaghettis. First of all, because it's closer to the skin.
Yeah, he's.
Second of all, he's bleeding from the nose because he did something.
Yeah.
He just has a nosebleed.
You're going to get me gawkered here.
I know.
Don't get me gawkered.
I'm not going to get you gawked.
Don't get me gawkered.
Brother.
Yeah. You look here, brother. All the kids love pasta.
What people like pasta. Here's what people don't like, gawker.
What do you want on that? You want extra marinara on that, brother?
Do you think there was a lasagna?
I'm sure there was the mushiest.
Yeah.
Imagine how mushy
that
I imagine the top layer being so dried out, like under a heat lamp.
Yes. like a crispy, crunchy, disgusting, yeah. Like in, when I went to, college, the, like, what is that called? The cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have noodles that were already cooked. And mm-hmm. if you wanted them heated up, they would reboil them. So the noodles were always wet.
That's enough. I could.
Yeah. 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 In the same water. Every time, you know, it's the same
noodle
starch water. Yeah.
Yeah. Starch water.
Yeah.
That same starch water.
Yeah.
Have you had these? You know what I did the other day? Something got caught in my head. Look, this has not been a great time for me.
No, I'm
not
it's a nightmare.
I'm not
You're not in the best spirits.
I'm not in the best place. So 2 weeks ago, I was just like thinking hard about these Oreo cookies with all these different flavors.
The maple syrup and pancake flavors.
And I was like, yeah. And I'm just like, I love Oreo cookies so much. I always did. I still do, I think. Not currently. I'm sure they'll appeal to me again. So it's midnight, and I'm saying to myself, I'm an adult. I'm finally at that moment that everything's like, I could do whatever I want. I'm an adult. I want to try these dumb alternate flavor Oreos. I drive to the grocery store.
Oh, no.
And they only have them in, like, full packs. Like, full, like, well, yeah, tray style.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you know why?
It's the only
they're
way
all
someone's
going
to buy, like, a...
Because they're gross. And you eat one, and you're just like, this is terrible.
Uh-huh.
And now you can't go tell somebody. It's like, hey, you know what you don't want to eat is the red velvet.
Oh.
So I bought four.
What else? What other flavors?
I bought red velvet.
Yeah.
I bought cinnamon bun.
Oh.
Peanut butter, and red velvet, cinnamon bun, peanut butter, and fireworks.
What?
What's in fire?
That's
do you know
not
what's
a
in
flavor.
Fireworks?
Pop Rocks?
Yeah.
No! Is it an independent? Was that an Independence Day special? Like, was it only for July or something?
I think they call these things limited. Like, it's like now I'm in the collector's market with Oreo cookies.
Trading cards, like edible trading cards.
Yeah. Hey, anybody got a? Anybody here?
A candy corn?
Yeah, candy corn. I need a. I really need a. Is that a first run candy corn?
But you can't open the giant packages of cookies.
Don't open it. What are you doing?
There's like 1,100 cookies in there.
Yeah, the guy dies and
you
rats.
Can't resell them.
Like, so I get in the car.
How did you do? Did you open all of them at once?
I opened one.
Which one?
Had one cookie. Which red one? Velvet. I was like, that tastes like chemicals. it tasted like chemicals immediately. Like, I was like, oh wow! So
like hand soap or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like they could have turned any flavor. It's just like, oh, so you figured in a lab out how to replicate what red velvet is kind of,
right.
But not really.
The way you see a robot dog, and people are like, "Look, it's like a dog," and you're like,
"No, it's not. It has nothing to do with
it.
Yeah,
it's not
the
a
same
dog.
Shape as a dog, barely." So I eat this red velvet, and I'm like, "Oh, that's subpar."
Yes.
Then I have the.
Cinnamon next. Ugh.
And I'm just like, like
does it have
mouth.
Like a fake maple syrup?
Oh yeah, it was like one of those
gross.
Things when you eat a thing, and you instantly have a headache because something is so artificial.
Well, because your body's fighting it off. It's like a virus has entered the.
You're
the...
not supposed. It's not made for human consumption.
No.
So then I had fireworks, and you eat it, and then suddenly it goes like. You feel just like a slight. It was like a regular Oreo, so I'm like, oh, okay, at least it's a regular Oreo. Then it's like just like a slight tingling of this, off-brand Pop Rocks that they're pouring into the thing.
You know what you should have done before you ate the fireworks Oreos? Put on your Thunder shirt.
I should have. I was like a dog on the 4th of July.
Yeah. Being like,
what was the fourth one?
Peanut butter.
And by that point, I ate that, and I'm just like... And then I had one more of one. I had five cookies
total. Wait, how was peanut butter? Was it normal?
It was gross. It was terrible.
Okay.
There's no peanut butter in it. It's just a...
It
whatever
like,
they're
it's
simulating.
So funny, because it seems like peanut butter is the easiest thing in the world to spread between two cookies.
Right? Yeah. Nutter Butter, anyone?
I'm just absorbing the sentence, Nutter Butter, anyone?
Yeah, let that wash over you.
Did you wash anything down with a regular Oreo cookie? Did you get a regular?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to spend. I figured spending $16.
Is that how much it was?
They were $4 a box.
I was under the impression that junk food was basically free. That you could go to a Target and like you'd leave with 12.
These things were like $3.79 each.
Okay.
So I'm eating these things and I'm like ill. Now I'm straight up ill.
Yeah.
I take them. And then I just like, I leave them in. I'm like, I'm not even bringing these in the house. Yeah. These are so gross. I don't want them in the house.
No.
So then the next day I get in the car. I feel gross. I feel gross going to bed. I wake up feeling nauseated. I get in the car. I take these things. I throw them in a dumpster. I was like, I'm ending this. Like, this ends here. And then I told Terry about it. And she's like, I would have liked to try. I was like, no, you wouldn't have. You would have been ill.
No, you protected.
I spared.
You protected her.
They're disgusting. They're so gross. But I still had the thing. You know, I knew they were going to be disgusting. What, do I think they're going to be great?
Yeah.
Mmm. You know what? I like these cinnamon bun. Here, try one. They're the greatest dessert ever.
Also, like, that it's not called cinnamon, that it's called cinnamon. Like, that naming a dessert after another dessert is always such a bad.
Well, they always say birthday cake flavor thing. Right. And then, so, but what is that thing when suddenly you feel yourself like, you know you're going down a bad road?
Yes.
Like, I knew it the second I got, as soon as I was just like, well, let me put my shoes on.
Is this the topic,
store.
By the way? Are we introducing the topic? I was going to say.
15 minutes ago? No. Just, all right, I got the phone. Bad junk food.
When you go, I know this road.
I got a bad junk food.
Going
well, Tom, I'd like to go down a bad road. I'm not a fan of Nutter Butters. Nutter Butter, anyone? Nutter Butter, alternate flavors. They have Oreo filling in their thing now.
It's so gross. But you know that thing when you just eat it, you're just like, this is not good for me. I'm not going to enjoy this. I'm going to regret it.
I am ashamed to say that I went to McDonald's on Friday.
Okay.
And I had chicken nuggets.
Like something was calling to you.
No, I was on the road and it was just like, I was in Boston and I didn't know it from any, like, you know, I just was like, let's just find a rest stop. And it was just something familiar. But it was...
I got a six thing.
And I got the saddest salad I've ever. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know that it was sitting on a shelf for. It was like a fairy tale about a little doll that no one bought, and then a poor little girl brought her home, and finally she learned to dance. Only this salad did not learn to dance; it just wilted.
The
lettuce, to its credit, wasn't brown, but you could look at it and be like, "You're brown inside."
Yeah, you're. You're not showing it probably because they sprayed something on it.
The same stuff they put on Wally Wacky Man to make him look like Kermit.
Yeah. He's doing great though. Paint. He's going through Muppet Boot Camp now.
How's that going? Is it like Full Metal Jacket?
It's like Full Metal Jacket. He's like Private Pile now, Wally Wacky Man. He's getting screamed at all day by Brian Henson.
Full Metal Puppet.
My God, Full Metal Puppet is the
felt metal puppet.
If that Muppet show was still in the air,
would have been a good skit.
Yeah. Mike.
Let's go to the phones.
Who's good here? One. Real insight. Hi, best show.
Oh, no, it's my voice.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
To whom?
This is Ben in Seattle.
Ben, what's going on?
Well, first I wanted to tell Julie hello.
Hi.
And hi, Tom. Sorry, didn't mean to be rude, but.
It's fine. Don't worry.
First I wanted to say that, I don't know if someone else has said it, but I think, Julie and Billy coaxed like one of the great Martin Short cameos of all time.
Oh, thank you.
And Difficult People.
Wasn't he great to do that? He was so cool.
Yes.
That was amazing.
He was wonderful. He's the best. He's the best of all time.
He's like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, he is like Bugs Bunny. Because he also, everything just rolls off of his back. That guy does not take anything personally. Mm-hmm. He's not neurotic. He's fun to watch. You're not going to watch anybody else besides him. When he can sing, he can dance.
Are you excited about season three of Difficult People, Ben?
Yes.
You should
I am.
Be. I've seen all of them. And
Tom's
it's
seen
great.
All of them.
It's so great. And people are going to flip when they see some of the stuff. If there's stuff in it, I can't wait to hear people talking about some of the things in this upcoming season.
So please get Hulu. You can get it, watch the show, and cancel it. I don't care.
Yeah,
is that not the right thing to say?
Shareholder?
Yeah. I'm not a shareholder. I'm not on the board of directors. No. Directors? What are you grabbing? Oh, no. Oh, no.
What?
Ben?
Yes.
Ben, are you there?
Thanks, Ben.
I am here.
Ben,
no,
Tom
not.
Just...
Best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Christine from Philadelphia, but right now I'm actually in Ocean City.
Ocean City, New Jersey?
New Jersey.
That's that Ferris wheel I was on. Can you see it from where you are?
I can't see it because the condo is blocking it, but I was on it today.
You went on the Ferris wheel. That's right. Did you call last week? Did you call last week?
No, I did not.
Someone called last week and talked about being on.
She'd had a couple of drinkies.
The Ferris. Yeah, someone went on.
I heard that caller. That caller was not me.
Okay, so you went on it today, though.
I did. I went on it with my niece, who was 4, my nephew was 8, and my brother.
And how?
And as we were all clamoring to leave the Ferris wheel, excuse me. You neglected to mention about how the gates move in towards the basket. So as I'm leaving, my sunburned shoulder gets jabbed with the latch to close the gate. And as I get home, I see I'm actually bleeding from this Ferris wheel.
You're bleeding
from a Ferris wheel injury. A latch jab.
A latch jab.
But when you went on the Ferris wheel and it went up, did you have a hard time with it?
I didn't. My 4-year-old niece did.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the thing. I was more focused on keeping her calm. So I happened to have grapes. And I was like, oh, Katie, why don't you have another grape? And I would force feed her like a little bird.
She's never going
to like... I gave her
a
grape to distract her.
She's not going
to
like
and
grapes.
She would chew on the grape and she was fine.
She's not going to like grapes later.
Yeah. No, you scared her off grapes now. It's going to trigger
her. Or
I
made them
panic.
The most favorite thing that she could ever have because they made her feel better.
Yeah, that's not the association she's going to make.
Or maybe she'll just love wine. I don't know.
I'm telling you, you didn't feel that thing when the Ferris wheel goes to 9 o'clock, say, that.
But you were by yourself. I had little kids to worry about, so my focus.
Yeah, you know who I had to worry about? Me!
Yeah, you know, if I was by myself, it would have freaked me out too, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you did it. Thank you. Someone on Twitter says, 4-year-old can do it, but Tom can't. That's great. That's a very nice message you sent.
What a monster.
Thank you. Right? I appreciate it. Look, you have
all
a
right.
great night.
You
I appreciate
you
it.
Too.
You did the Ferris wheel, though.
I did. Let's talk about it.
Go get yourself
but I got a bloody shoulder.
Go get yourself some Coors ice cream.
I'm drinking Corona Light right now.
You're drinking what?
Corona Light.
You should get the soft ice cream. Get the soft ice cream.
You know, you have to forgive me. I didn't listen to the first half hour of the show. Mm-hmm. Did you talk about what Jason wants to talk about, probably?
What's he want to talk about?
What do you think he wants to talk about?
Oh, that Doctor Who?
Yeah. I can't operate.
Isn't it great?
Were you, like, right outside the door that you just... You burst in so quickly?
No way.
Were you behind the door the whole... Ah!
Get in here. Doctor Who!
Jason!
Hey, Jason!
Jason! Gary wants to talk to you.
Oh, Doctor Who! Oh, God. I think it's great that now a woman can be on that dumb show also. It's breaking down barriers. that were once preventing women from being on a terrible show. Now you can do it too, ladies. You can be on the dumbest show in history. Congratulations. You can be on a show that sucks and get harassed at Comic-Cons by nerds screaming at you. Now you can watch a show. This is Doctor Who, every episode. Well, let's go down the hallway and look for King Tut. Where'd King Tut go? Then the robot comes, exterminate, exterminate. Oh, God. I felt Brent. Doctor Who cares.
I'm sorry.
Don't go.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Hey, Dudio.
I yelled into the mic. Yeah. That was terrible.
Hey, it's me, Dudio.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it's me. Hey, everybody. It's me, Dudio. I'm excited about Doctor Who. I thought Peter Capaldi did a good job, but I'm going to rank all the Doctor Who's in order. 4, 6, 3, 9, 11. Hike!
Take a hike.
Take a hike, Doctor Who! Not you! You excited about Doctor Who?
I am.
When's the new episode air?
Well, there's going to be a Christmas.
There'll be a Christmas special, and then the Doctor regenerates.
Yeah.
And then a whole new season next year with the new Doctor.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
How many people have watched Doctor Who?
Millions.
No, let me finish. How many people have watched Doctor Who? Like, are not weirdos. Like
four,
normal.
Four
how many
or
five. Are normal? Because, like, how many people could go in and, like, when they do, like, a free credit report, they have credit to report? Like, when they're, like, not, no information on your name, credit report. You can't go buy a moped. It's me, Doctor Who. Sucks. It's going to get canceled.
It's going to be canceled because of the woman?
No.
Oh, it'll get canceled and we'll get blamed.
Yeah, women are going to get blamed.
Yeah.
Because you nerds are out of control. You're going to scream at that poor woman at Comic-Con.
Poor woman.
Because they're booing her.
She better have security going into San Diego, boy.
Julie!
Hi, Gary.
Difficult people.
Yeah.
Season 3. I'm in it. In the park.
Yes, you're in the park.
Everybody can see me. They want to go. Hey. Hey.
Sunday in the park with Gary.
I'm in a tree.
Yeah, you were in a tree.
So what's up with Dudio? He's stupid, right?
I'm not speaking ill of Dudio. When did you switch over from your animosity towards Mike to Dudio?
I'm scared of Mike. He warned me. I want to tell everybody, apmike.bandcamp.com.
Oh, my God.
Go
showing.
Check it out. There's a lot of good items
you're
for sale.
You're shilling.
There's items for sale.
Oh,
please,
no,
go.
Gary, you're
go buy stuff.
You're shilling for the enemy.
He warned me.
Well, with a gun?
A machete. He was swinging it around.
That's no bueno.
No bueno. He never guessed what happened to me.
What?
I got back with Denise.
Oh, congratulations.
And now I'm back out again.
What happened?
I went out with the boys.
Oh, no.
Instead of staying home. She flipped out. So I just want to take this opportunity.
Wait, hold on. You didn't really tell the story. What happened? Did you get too drunk or something? You forgot?
I had a cold beer. Okay. Blacked out.
All right, so you don't know what happened.
I know I barfed.
Oh, boy. It was like on Valentine's Day when you advanced with that dinner?
Yeah. We went to Alfonso's.
And then you had to be carried out.
The owner had to carry me out because I had too many desserts.
You ruined Valentine's Day for Vance.
I ate two desserts that day. Yeah, I was drowning my sorrows in sweets.
But that was a lot for you because you're a tiny squirrel.
Not, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So difficult people.
Okay. Yes, August 8th. It comes back August 8th. I haven't said.
On Hulu!
On Hulu. On Hulu. Only on
Hulu. Hulu.com.
Hulu.com.
Who is your favorite guest on the show?
Chris Elliott.
Is this season funny?
It's so funny. Why? It's so funny. It's so great. It's outrageous. It's outrageous. It's nutrageous.
Nutrageous.
It's your favorite thing.
My favorite is Payday.
Yes. That's a serial killer's.
Denise. Denise. You gotta take me back! Denise!
This is gonna be fruitless.
I gotta just tell you, I can't fight this feeling any longer. And yet I'm still afraid to let it flow.
Oh, that's nice.
What started out as friendship has gone stronger, grown stronger. I only wish I had the strength to let it show. I tell myself that I can't hold out forever. I say there is no reason for my fear. Denise! 'Cause I feel so secure when we're together. You give my life direction. You make everything so clear. And even as I wander, I'm keeping you in sight. You're the candle in the window in a cold, dark winter's night. And I'm getting closer than I ever thought I might. And I can't fight this feeling anymore. Well, I've forgotten what I started fighting for. It's time to bring this ship into the shore and throw away the oars forever. 'Cause I can't fight this feeling anymore, Denise. Well, I've forgotten what I started fighting for, Denise. And if I have to crawl up on the floor, come crashing through the door, baby, I can't fight this feeling anymore. Mike sucks. Mike sucks so bad, but I'm scared of him. He warned me to shut my mouth, or he'd smash my head with his machete handle. But I'm not scared of you anymore, Mike. You can't get me. I'm gonna get you. And I want you to just know, my life has been such a whirlwind since I saw you. Aren't enough. I'm done.
That was great, Gary.
Take me back, Denise. I'm begging you. I went out with the boys. I was trying to act like a big shot. But I'm not. I'm not a big shot. I'm just a regular Joe. Trying to make my way through the world. Got guys like Mike bugging me. Going through my mail.
Oh my God, you are allegedly. You are still pissed at Mike.
He went through my mail.
I know, you can't let him go. It's like,
he was going through my mail.
Okay, what was he doing going through your mail, Gary? You mentioned this enough times. You want me to ask about it? What did he do? What did he do?
He was looking for, he said he was looking for checks.
He thought, okay. All right. Well.
And he ordered a package and sent it to my house.
What was it of?
It had bras in it.
That's pretty funny. You gotta admit that's funny. That's a very
prank.
It's a very Raw Dog Sirius XM kind of thing to do.
Raw Dog 99 Sirius XM
99!
Toilet talk.
Right? Bro. Get to hear some of my favorite comedians on there.
Dan Soder.
Dan Soder.
Claire Bennington. Gail Bennington.
Gail! Get, my new favorite.
Who dat?
This new guy maybe you heard of.
Yeah.
Andy Kindler.
Yes!
Did you get the memo? He got the memo.
That the Grateful Dead are a good band.
He sucks. Aww. He doesn't suck.
Kindler. Kindler's probably, if I had to guess, I bet he's thinking about his state of the industry address. Right about this time.
Probably writing a few zingers.
Ha ha ha, dot Canada.
Look out, Jimmy Fallon.
Watch Andy. Your back. Kumail Nanjiani.
I saw the AP Mike story.
Watch out, Ali Wong. Hold on. I want to keep doing this.
Did you see Mike's movie?
What's it called?
The Big Stink.
Ah!
No, wait. Did you see AP Mike's story?
What's it called?
The Big Suck.
Ah!
Hey, Mike. You suck. I'm not scared of you anymore.
What was the time you told
me? I bought a handgun.
What?
Death Wish style. I didn't get a handgun. I'm just trying to scare him.
Don't say it into the mic.
Wait, don't say I didn't get one. No, I got one. Wait. I don't have one.
Remember when you told him there were two movies out at the time? Get Out and Split? You told
Stay
him.
Stay Out.
It was called I'll Get split. Out. And Split.
Yeah.
He said, do like that movie. And Get Out!
One of my greatest hits.
It was good. I liked it.
What movies do you want to see this summer?
I want to see...
Guardians!
What? Is that like Guardians of the Galaxy thing?
Yeah.
No.
Guardians!
No, I don't think so.
What about... Dunkirk!
What is that? I didn't see that. I saw... Baby Driver!
Hey, it's me, Baby Driver! Look out! I'm gonna drive a car for half the movie! And the other half, I'm gonna be in a room with a dry erase board! They could have called that movie Dry Erase Board! There was more of that in it than cars!
Baby Dry Erase Board?
There was more Dry Erase Board! Half that movie was Kevin Spacey on a dry erase board! One third of it was the baby driver in the car.
The rest of it was iPods. And that there was that one.
They know they don't make iPods anymore, right? Wait till baby driver finds that out. Oh, no!
But, Gary, what are you...
Baby Zune!
Baby Zune. Gary?
Yes?
Wouldn't you agree that baby driver loved music?
I would agree that Baby Driver loved music. He played Bone and a Bone and a Bone a Bone. I want a man, want a mystery man. Baby Driver discovered punk. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Did you get Baby Driver out of the trunk?
Not yet.
It's ironic.
That he's in the trunk?
Baby Driver's about cars going fast and Michael by the movie... Out of a trunk in the Duane Reade parking lot.
That's not that, out of a car that's not going very fast at all because...
It's Baby a, Parker.
Because it's a store. Because when the truck is parked, it's a store.
And the manager comes out and yells at Mike. Mike's like, I just bought something. I bought foot powder. And he holds it up. I bought this gold bond. Lay off. But he didn't even buy it. He found it in the parking lot. Let me ask you. You know what gets my goat?
What's that, Gary?
People that just throw trash in parking lots.
People do that?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like fast food bags.
That's disrespectful.
What do you think, that just goes there? Well, I'm done eating this, so I'll just set the bag here.
It's just like a habitat thing. It's the way that people throw an apple core at the beach. They think that the garbage belonged in a parking lot because it's a garbage habitat.
Garbage habitat.
Yes.
I want to say this to everybody, and I mean it. Don't pollute.
That was good, Gary.
Seriously.
I know. I've never seen you be don't so pollute. Sincere. You got a cause, buddy.
There's going to be a garbage dump 100 years from now. It's going to be AP Mike headshots. Massive shirts. All of the... Imagine that time capsule. They open up 100 years from now. A massive shirt. AP Mike headshot. They'll be like, this is clearly these people were under the rule of some, some king, maniac.
Some King Tut-like.
Some tyrant. A deranged dictator had control of them. App Mike.
Well, it was Band Camp. They thought Band Camp was the name of the country.
He ruled Band Camp.
And Mike, citizens of Band Camp.
Did you hear about AP? Why did AP Mike cross the road? Because he's stupid. Hey, Julie, do you have any bird seed?
No. Why?
The thing you got, why do you have, you want to feed some birds? Hey, Julie, do you have any, hey, Julie, do you have any bird seed?
Why, do you want to feed some birds?
No, I want to grow some! The seeds.
Oh, my God. That was a... I'm sorry, Gary. I must be tired because I just didn't get that.
You know where I got that one from? Laughing!
For real?
Yeah. I get all my jokes from Laughing. Who's your favorite person on Laughing?
Goldie Hawn.
You know who mine is?
Tell me.
Alan Seuss!
That's so weird.
Big Al!
Who's the one who says very interesting?
Artie Johnson!
He's your second favorite, isn't he?
No!
Why?
I'll rank all the members
of the Oh, good! Food.
Here we go!
Let's go!
Alan Suit! Rowan! Goldie Hawn! Judy Carn! Martin! Henry Gibson!
Is Joanne Worley so low? She sounds like a dog. Or a car.
She sounds like Mike's car! And that Duane Reade parking lot, and there's the headlights on! My car's not starting. My car's not starting, but you have Wonder Woman on DVD. And I'm out of here. I gotta beat feet! I gotta catch a bus.
Bye, Gary.
Difficult People Season 3.
August 8th, baby.
8-8.
8-8.
8-8.
8-8.
There he goes.
It's good to see him.
So, Julie.
Yes?
Game of Thrones, you're excited about that, right?
Game of Thrones is like the sports of TV for me. It's just not for me.
Did you see this past episode? You get three wishes.
That was on?
Right, yeah. They really? Had a lamp.
A genie?
And then a genie came out.
Genie Berlin? Because otherwise, I ain't interested.
No, Genie Berlin did not come out of the lamp.
Well, she should have.
This is what I'm going to do. People making fun of Gary for blacking out after one beer. He's a squirrel. What do you think? That's pretty good, actually.
Well, we had two desserts and the same thing happened. He didn't do well with that either.
He's a little bit of a lightweight. He's got a small stomach. He's a little bit of a lightweight.
That's true.
This Saturday. What are you doing this Saturday, everyone? I know what you're doing. If you're in the tri-state area, you're going to see Karaoke All Night with Pat Byrne. The third anniversary Prove It All Night special live from the WFMU Performance Space. This Saturday, July 22nd, 9 p.m. to midnight, guests include Ike Ufamadu, Patty Harrison, Jason Gray, Kristen Bartlett, John Reynolds, you know him from Search Party.
I would like to date him.
He's very funny.
I'd like to go on a date with him.
Well, I think he's a nice guy. I'd like to have a cold beer with him.
Well, he could be president then.
He could be.
He's got to have a president. You want to have a president with a beer. Get a
cold beer, have a beer with him.
Don't you want to have a beer with your president?
Vic Ruggiero and Mary Houlihan.
Oh, Hooli!
Hooli will be there. So, this Saturday, Pat Byrne, karaoke all night. Also, tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. for the exciting show, which will take place in October. Sharpling and Worcester's Rock Rotten Rule 20th Anniversary Extravaganza, October 21st. At the Murmur Theater, M-U-R-M-R-R Theater in Brooklyn. Saturday, October 21st. Tickets go on sale Friday, July 21st at 10 a.m. It is a New York-only show. We're not touring on this thing. It is a commemoration of 20 years that John and I have been doing stuff. Rock, Rotten Rule's anniversary is this November. So get your tickets for that. 7 p.m. show. Very going to be a lot of fun, very exciting. And difficult people, finally.
Yes.
And I'm serious. Look, I was lucky enough to work on this, but you know what it is when I work? I'm hanging out with you and goofing around and having fun.
It's fun. There's nothing more fun.
So we're just doing, so that's all that was just like hanging out, having fun,
yeah.
Working on it. The show was so funny this year. It's so great. People are going to lose their marbles when they see it. They really are. People are going
to. People, I will say there's some best show stuff in it that will appeal to the best show audience and possibly no one else. You know?
But you know, it's going to appeal to. Everything's going to appeal to everyone because it's funny.
I hope so.
It's just so funny. Finally, a funny show.
Let's just say there's a former member of the Hate Pit who's featured in one of the episodes that.
Oh, my goodness.
That when we were writing, it was like. All right, this might just be something for me.
You were working. You were working on this thing and telling me about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
no.
This will never happen.
Sure enough.
And then suddenly you're like.
The help of our friend Andrew Sandoval.
You were like, oh.
Lichtman, and all of a sudden we're looking up and someone is on the set and.
You're like, it's happening.
And happened it did.
It is so funny.
Oh, is it? It's a good episode.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. So this August 8th, it's going to be two episodes the first?
Three.
Right off the bat.
Trace.
Boom, boom, boom.
14.
Everybody's going to, you're going to have, oh, it's going to be, so. I can't wait to hear people react to it.
Oh, I hope people like it,
People
Tom.
Are going to love it.
Thanks. I hope so,
It's going to clean up.
I hope so.
It's going to clean up.
Clean up Barb from that pool.
Yes. Emmy nominee Barb.
Dum-dum. She should win a
Dum-Dum. I was on screen for 3 minutes.
She should be nominated for the Dum-Dum Awards.
Yeah. Barb. And the nominees for the Dum-Dum Awards.
And the dummy goes to.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dummy goes to Barb.
And then the orchestra plays da, 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 da.
And she's just like in the audience. She's like. Do I want to go up there and get, like, is it good that I won this thing? The nominees are for dumbest role in a dumb show, Barb from Stranger Things. Meanwhile, she's like, it's not my name's not Barb. Barb from Stranger Things.
And the winner is.
The winner is, Barb. Oh, big shocker, Barb. Get up here, you dummy.
Here comes the dummy.
up here, dummy.
Like, here she is, Miss America.
And then the announcer's like, this dummy won an award. This is the first dummy that this
dummy's
won. This dummy finally won. She won her first dummy tonight. And
this dummy never won anything except for a punch in the nose.
She's so dumb, she couldn't even win a dummy. She will be back. This will be the first of many dummies. This dummy will... She gets on stage. She's like,
"We'll trip her way into
acting." It. Is some say that acting is
reacting.
Get off the stage, dummy! Now the nominees for dumbest band: 21 Pilots. The Lumineers.
Dummy John Misty?
Dummy, yeah. Dummy John Misty. And you too. Who'd win? Guns N' Roses? Dumbs N' Roses?
For dumbest bands?
Yeah.
The Peppers, no?
Yeah, they would win every year. The Peppers. If it was just like...
It would be like Julia Louis-Dreyfus being nominated. At a certain point, you just have to take her out of the running. It'd be like unfair that the Red Hot Chili Peppers keep getting nominated for dumbest band. They'd be like, enough is enough.
Yeah.
They're hogging the awards.
Because it's this thing. It's like, yeah, she has the best role that almost any human has ever had
and
in
she's
comedy.
She's as good at it as the thing is, and it's written as well as she is great at
yeah.
it. And as long as they keep nominating her, she's
going
to
win.
Continue winning.
Yeah. There was that first year where it's just like, do you think Julia Louis-Dreyfus will win for Veep? And then now it's just like, man, she wins every. She's got to larriquette this thing at some point and just go, yeah, I'm not going to win.
Did he do that?
I think at some point he checked, he removed himself from the running.
Good for him.
Yeah.
She's like reverse Susan Lucci.
Yeah, she's just racking the. It's like, she'll just be like, you know, Veep hasn't been on the air for 6 years now. Like, it'll just be like, in the winter. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Veep. She's like, we don't make new episodes of Veep anymore.
Yeah, and they're starting to start giving them out for next year, too.
Yeah. We'll just give you here's next year's Emmy also.
We don't
want to
make you give a second trip.
Yeah.
Listen, the point is I'm so happy for all my friends nominated. And
I'm happy for. These are the people I'm happy for.
John Lithgow for The Crown.
I'm happy for Kristen Bartlett. I'm happy for Paul Sims.
I'm happy for Paul Scheer, and I'm not. He probably was nominated for something, but I'm just happy for him in general.
I'm always happy for Paul.
Yeah, every time I see Paul Scheer on my whatever Instagram feed, he seems like he's happy, and I'm happy he's happy. He's a good guy.
I like Paul.
He's a mensch.
Paul's a good guy.
He's a mensch.
I'm happy for Zach.
Galifianakis
got nominated.
That show's great. I love that show.
And then I don't know if I'm happy for anyone else.
Fair enough.
Nominated.
Fair enough.
Will I ever win anything?
Nope.
No, right? Okay, do you know what? Wait, am I home and this is just a voice in my head, or am I here doing the show? Because that was as
I'm
quick.
Happy. I'm happy for Billy Eichner. I must say, I'm
yes,
happy for
Billy. I'm happy
Eichner.
For Billy. Yes, Billy
happy
too.
For
yes.
My...
Okay, I'm happy for Billy.
Yes,
that's four people.
Yeah,
isn't that? Doesn't that make me sound? Isn't that good enough? I'm happy for four people.
I think
it's
extraordinary that you're happy
of the 700 that got nominated.
I think it's remarkable. I think it's impressive, and I think you should, you know.
Yeah, but I'll never win anything.
I'm gonna stop responding because it's.
I'm not gonna ever be nothing.
Maybe I could get a dummy.
I'm gonna end up with some in memoriam thing. I'll split screen with.
John Reynolds.
Robert Blake.
Robert Blake's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Robert Blake is the one who's... It'll be an in memoriam for Robert Blake's victims you can be on. It'll just be... This year, it'll just be people Blake. That Robert Blake have killed.
Wait, is he killing more people?
Probably. Well, he's not...
Let's say allegedly. I don't need Robert Blake showing up here in his Lost Highway lipstick.
I trust Mike to protect us from that.
You kidding? Michael, they'll be passing the lipstick around.
Birds of a feather.
No, I'm not going to ever win anything. That's fine. Maybe it's not fine. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But on the other hand, the great thing is that I don't make money either. So I've really got this whole thing figured out.
I don't get
the respect of my peers.
Yeah. So I don't have critical acclaim. Yeah. So I don't have a show that's on... But at least I don't make money.
Yes. Sure, I don't get respect and acknowledged by my peers.
Yep.
But I also...
Who are doing so much better than me in leaps and bounds.
Why?
But we make the best stuff. We really do. We really do make the best stuff. Period.
Yeah, we make the best stuff.
We make the best stuff.
They can't take that away from us.
No, and it's not debatable.
That's the stuff they can't
take away. It is something
you
cannot...
No.
Say it is indisputable, and it's maybe obnoxious to say so, but it's just the truth.
It kind of is.
It's just the truth.
Yeah, right?
Yes. And people who do have money in the respect of their peers know that. Do they care a lot? I don't know.
No, there's once in a while they'll just go like, I think I'm going to do a thing like the thing you do. You right. do that. Right. I wish I did what you do, that thing.
Right.
People
or I
love
could, or
that.
I could do that. Or I wish I could do that, but in their head they're saying, I'm going to do that.
Or I should have done that.
Because that would have gotten me where? Higher than I am?
I don't know. It's always like, it's like, man, I should have done something cool like what you're doing.
Oh, the cool word is such yeah. a way of saying trivial. So the cool yeah. is like saying like amateur or,
yeah.
You know.
That thing's so cool what you're doing.
Yeah. It's so.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, hey, do you want to buy any books? I'm putting a tub of my books together again.
Tub.
to sell some books. I can do that. Do you want to buy some books?
I wish I could do something cool. Like man, you did instead of something lame.
That
like,
thing you're doing is so cool.
Oh, my God. This is a terrible it's thing so to cool. say. It's so... That's like calling someone, like, sassy. I don't know. It's yeah. just...
Man, that's so cool. Whoa. You get to just do that cool thing. That's cool. I wish I did something cool. I just do this
go.
Other
I,
thing
yeah.
here where I make mountains of money and still get... better
awarded
reviews
and,
than and
yeah.
still get acclaim.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for something that could have been on TV in 1978.
Oh,
guys, I wrote a thing. Are you sure you didn't exhume?
Nobody a wants thing? It. Nobody wants it. I do.
Yeah.
Nobody wants it, Julie.
people do. No the people who want it love
no,
it.
They don't.
But they don't. They don't. They don't shower you with gold coins. Yeah, they do. Of course they did. If you disappeared, they'd lose their minds. There'd be suicides after suicides. The Staten Island Ferry alone, it would be like, I mean, there'd just be a lot of dead bodies floating.
No, it'll be on the Staten Island. You know, it's
a lot of Saduto's related. A lot of people's
casualties.
With their stomachs full of Saduto's will be found fishing yeah. right out of the harbor.
Well, that's the nicest thing anyone ever said.
Well, you're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Because, look, you have a show.
I do. It's extremely popular with three people who really have great taste, and most of them are me or different friends of mine.
I have a show.
You
hear
do.
This
you do. You have the thing. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta figure a thing out.
Oh, no!
How many mistakes did I make?
Starting from when? Let's just say today.
Well,
what happened today? What'd you eat for breakfast? Don't you like that in recording?
Red Velvet Oreo cookies from a dumpster? Yeah, I found this dumpster. It's 3 weeks old.
You crushed them all up. You made cookie sprinkles
yeah.
for your Popeye sundae.
I'm just like... let me put these Oreo cookies in the hood of my car and let them soften up a little bit. Kind of burn
either,
the mold
gonna,
off some of these things.
They're either going to soften up or harden in the sun. They're one of the two things the texture
yeah.
is going to change.
Then it turns into a fun kind of flourless chocolate cake. We have a fun...
Did you guys save room for dessert that I can tempt you with?
Can I tempt you with some cinnamon bun Oreo cookies?
Can I tempt you with room?
From a dumpster?
In your stomach?
Yeah.
Did you save some room in your stomach for some dumpster cookies?
We found these Oreo cookies in the dumpster.
And by found.
What we have is a...
discovered. We have truffle pigs.
We have truffle oil Oreos. That might be the worst thing ever. Just to imagine. We have truffle oil double stuff.
Stop.
Double stuff with dipped
truffle butter.
Yeah.
Truffle butter in the middle.
We have Oreo cookies with
like the Mars Attack alien.
We have delicious these have been left in these Oreo cookies were left in the sun.
The Stop and Shop dumpster.
They were encased in a Stop and Shop dumpster. They are really, really wet.
You know how people like wet nuts on a Sunday?
Yeah, these are like wet walnuts.
But they're like wet. They're wet cookies.
These are wet Oreos.
Wet Oreos.
Cinnamon bun. We took cinnamon bun, peanut butter, red velvet, and firework Oreos.
Yeah.
Mashed them together.
Yep. Left them in the rain.
Into a paste. And it is on top of salmon.
We're going to put it in a pastry bag.
Oreo cookie encrusted salmon.
Open your mouth.
Just eat it.
Just eat it. Yeah, stop being it. A jerk.
Yeah, just eat it.
Stop this being
is,
a... Yeah.
This is the banquet at the dummies.
What the you dummy ordered, dummy. The are all like yeah, Oreo just, off-brand.
Just smashed on top of real food. What did you order? I don't...
It's like... Like they put the crumbs over like a cod and then they fry it like the way that
you on have... the hood of a car. Yeah. Vroom, guys in the parking lot.
It's vroom. Almost done. Yeah. This is a little rare. We'll put it back on the put it back put on the hood of the car. The we'll fire yeah. it for another minute. Vroom, so, vroom, 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 vroom.
Look, maybe we don't have what others have. But you know what we have, Julie?
We got each other.
We got each other.
Oh, something else, yeah.
No, 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 we got that. We got each other. Yeah,
yes.
Got each other.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. No one can debate that. No one can argue.
You get these people, they thing with the...
Do they know they're not funny, though?
Yeah, they do.
You think?
At 4 a.m, they know.
Got it.
When they're just like, oh, God, I'm not funny.
Right.
Am I funny?
When, like, their beautiful spouses are off of them.
Yeah, when they're saying to their support staff in their house, am I funny? Like, waking up their butler.
Attractive, like, yeah. romantic partner. Yeah.
Jeeves?
Jeeves. Hey, sweetie, I'll be right back. I need to ask Jeeves something.
Yeah. Jeeves, am I funny?
Certainly, sir, you are.
Where's the Batcave?
You dummy Batman. Is that a new character?
Dummy Batman?
Yeah. Where's the Batcave?
Dude, where's my Batcave?
Who's the Joker? Why? Yeah. He's like, why so serious? He means it. Doesn't understand.
Short-term memory. His head. It's like concussed Batman.
Bonk man.
Bonked man. Yeah, he just can't remember anything. All right, I'm going to wind this down.
Are you sure? Why?
I don't, you know what?
I think we're on.
You got to leave when you're on top.
We're on a cinnamon roll.
Yeah. So, I say to you, my friends, best show will be back next week. Difficult People starts in a few weeks. Three weeks.
Something like that.
And I'm going to play some music going out. I'm tired of doing this Rocky thing. I don't want to do it anymore.
Fair enough.
I don't want to do it. I'm tired of it. I'm going to play another song. Mike? Yeah. I'm going to play another song by Royal Trucks. This is one you're not going to like from the first album. Strawberry Soda. I love it. Bye.